Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record-high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So last night was Joe Biden's big State of the Union address, and the stakes were high because, after all, this is a very closely fought election. The president of the United States is ailing. He has been trailing in the polls to Donald Trump, his arch nemesis. And all he really had to do was be alive and be normal. He did the first thing. He couldn't do the second thing, like, at all. And one wonders what exactly his team thought they were doing when they wrote this State of the Union address, which was extraordinarily divisive, really polarizing, really quite nasty. Did they think that the only way they were going to get him energetic enough for the speech was to ramp him up so high that they could not ramp him back down? Whatever cocktail they used to awaken him, did they use too much? Whatever it was, Joe Biden's State of the Union address last night was, I think, for him, a disaster in the making, not for Democrats. Democrats are pretending they love the thing, and they were always going to pretend that they loved the thing. Members of the media were always going to use words like feisty, energetic, combative. That was a foregone conclusion. But if you were the median voter, the person who's deciding between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and you watched Joe Biden last night, did that make you think our country is in the best of hands? Or did it make you think angry old man screams at clouds and also thinks many, many Americans are terrible people and also has his priorities totally screwed up? Because I think there are a lot of independents out there who are going to look at what Joe Biden did last night and how he acted and say to themselves, if they were trying to offer a contrast between crazy Trump over here and solid, stolid Joe over here, that missed. Attitudinally, it missed. Politically, it missed. I want to get to that in a moment, but I think first we have to set the stage for the State of the Union address. Let me explain where we are in American politics at this point. It's a damned clown show. It is a complete and utter cluster. It is a clown car filled with clowns, and inside the clowns are more clowns. That is where we are at this point. In American politics, it feels as though the WWE ate American politics and then vomited it back out. And what is left on the floor is what we saw last night. And it's true on all sides. This is not even a partisan point. I don't know how any rational person can look at the state of our Congress and think to themselves, we have elected the best. Just across the board, we are electing the best people. Or look at the situation in Washington, D.C. and think to themselves, our country is on the right track. This is a unified country filled with purpose. This is a country that has real values at the root of it. It's very hard to think about that when you see the visuals from last night. So we begin before the State of the Union. The State of the Union got started about 25 minutes late. One of the reasons was because the Biden motorcade that was making its way from the White House to the Capitol building was blocked by a bunch of pro-Hamas crazies who were sitting out in the middle of the street in favor of Hamas. And Joe Biden has been catering to these people. He's been suggesting that the real problem with that, they're just too passionate, folks. It's not that they're wrong and that they're actively siding with the worst terror group in the region right now, which is saying a lot. It is that they believe too hard. They just want too much. And so last night, he allowed his motorcade to be blocked for legitimately dozens of minutes on the most watched night of the presidential year by a bunch of nut jobs who were sitting in the middle of the street on behalf of terrorists who mass rape and murder people. So here was some of the footage last night in Washington, D.C. As we say, this was in the lead up to the State of the Union.
Behind me are dozens of ceasefire protesters standing just a block or two away from the Capitol. They have shut down Pennsylvania Avenue, this major road, what they believe could be the motorcade route for President Biden as he makes his way from the White House to the Capitol for the State of the Union speech. Now, of course, they know it is unlikely that they would actually stop the motorcade. They considered this more of a symbolic protest. They wanted to block this road to, again, keep up that pressure campaign against the president as those uncommitted votes are happening across the country. They felt like this was the biggest platform where they could make a statement to the president, actually block his route to come and speak in front of Congress.
And again, CNN is very happy to cover all of this because the entire media narrative about Joe Biden's campaign is that he needs to push further to the left. More cowbell, more to the left. None of these people, by the way, were arrested. As we'll see, that was not the story for the entirety of the night. Someone was arrested for protesting last night, but it was not the people who are pro-Hamas. It was actually a Gold Star father. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Okay, then you actually enter the House of Congress. And I got to tell you, when you see this cavalcade, this veritable cornucopia of stupidity and asininity, all I can think to myself is that there has never been a greater assemblage of IQ points since Bozo the Clown ate alone. That is where we are. From the moment that the cameras began to broadcast inside the Capitol building, and you could see who was there. So first of all, just on an optic level, if you're a member of Congress, you should look like a member of Congress. You should not look alternatively like a trucker or a terrorist. You should look like, you know, you belong there, that you are in the people's house, that you are a representative of the American people. And yet what we ended up with last night, because all the politics has become performative WWE style screaming at one another, because of all of that, that was represented, you know, quite well in Congress. So we start with the left and then we'll get to the right momentarily. So on the left, for example, you had Ilhan Omar and Ayanna Pressley, who were sitting there, clownishly sitting there with little signs as though they were at a terrorist auction, holding up signs. One says, "Stop sending bombs." That's the one being held by the pro-terrorist Ilhan Omar. And Ayanna Pressley, who's the Ringo Starr of the Hamas squad, holding up a sign that says, "Lasting ceasefire now." So they're holding up their little signs. So that was just truly terrific. Then you had other members of the squad draping each other in the keffiyeh, which is the Palestinian dress scarf that is supposed to, that has been historically associated with terrorism. It was really made famous by Yasser Arafat, the arch terrorist who really led off the era of plane hijackings back in the 1970s. It is folded in a particular way. It is highly associated with terrorists right now living in the Gaza Strip. And you have members of Congress like Rashida Tlaib presiding over other members of Congress like Cori Bush draping each other in the Palestinian keffiyeh. Absolute clown show. And this is the clown show on the left. The clown show on the left is politically motivated clown show. It's again, the clownishness of the left is always refracted through the prism of something highly political. Then there's the clown show of the right, which is just dumb. It's just dumb. So let me present to you two Congress people and how they decided to dress for the State of the Union last night. So Marjorie Taylor Greene decided to go as a trucker. She wore a red jacket above a T-shirt that said, "Say her name." She was advocating in favor of something that was actually good and proper and right, which is Laken Riley, who is the woman who was just murdered by an illegal immigrant at the University of Georgia. All of that would have been fine. It would have been better if she had been dressed like, you know, a congressperson sitting in Congress. Instead, she wore a MAGA hat, a red jacket with multiple buttons on it as though she's wearing a flare. Just in terms of the image that you're projecting to the American public, because remember, most people don't watch politics the way that you do if you watch or listen to this show. Not exactly the image that you want to promote. So on the one hand, you have Ayanna Pressley and Cori Bush and AOC and the squad dressing up like fans of Hamas, like clapping along and holding up their lighters in the air for Hamas. And on the other hand, you have Marjorie Taylor Greene and Troy Nehls, congressman from Texas, who decided that he was going to wear a T-shirt that was a mugshot of Donald Trump. That was like an actual thing. He wore a T-shirt that is a mugshot of Donald Trump that says "Never Surrender" beneath his suit jacket. Like, dude, who are you winning? All you have to do is not be crazy, and no one can do it. No one cannot be crazy. No one. So you look at the Congress people, then you look at the cabinet, and you see this gaggle of dolts walking in from the Biden administration. And it's the Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, who is currently simultaneously trying to fund the Israelis and fund the terrorists. We'll get to that in a little bit. You have Lloyd Austin, who, when he's not in a hospital, is doing a terrible job trying to fill military recruitment slots. You have the Secretary of Commerce, Gina Raimondo, who has just done wonders for commerce and unblocking those supply lines and all the rest of it. It's been great. You have Pete Buttigieg, fresh off paternity leave. He's been back from paternity leave for maybe a year at this point, but nobody noticed that he came back. But he was there looking like howdy doody. So that was great. I mean, this just parade of idiocy walking in. And that's your stage. That's what sets the stage. And then the speech begins. And Joe Biden comes in hot. And he comes in really, really hot. So Joe Biden gets in there and he opens with a joke that nobody understands. Like, this is going to be a long night. And it was a very, very long speech. And it's a particularly long speech when you don't understand what's being yelled at you. It was to me like being yelled at in Polish. I have no idea what half the speech was because he was slurring his words so badly. I understand that the baseline, the bar for Democrats was set at, will he die? And I understand all he had to do to not go below that bar was actually not die. That's just a really low baseline. And we'll give him credit for that. He was breathing both at the beginning of last night and at the end of last night. And in between, there was an extraordinary amount of yelling and haranguing and a lot of hallelujah. I would look away from the TV for just a moment and just listen. And you could not tell what the hell he was saying. He went from this was the trajectory of his speech, just to give you the quick preview. The trajectory of Joe Biden's speech last night was angry, energetic coherence at the very beginning, very, very angry, very, very over the top, insulting, but coherent. And then it went to angry incoherence, loud incoherence. And then it went to whispering incoherence because he lost energy. The drugs started to wear off about 40 minutes into this thing. And by the end, he was kind of, at the very end, he kind of surged a little bit of energy in to get in his last licks. What was very weird about the State of the Union is, of course, it was not a State of the Union address at all. At all. Normally, the President of the United States opens with some sort of broad peroration. And within the first couple of minutes, he says, the State of our Union is strong. And I've never heard a president get up there and say, the State of our Union just sucks right now. I got to tell you, it just blows, man. They all say the same thing. They talk about the glories and wonders of America, and then they say the State of our Union is strong. That's the formula. Joe Biden gets up there, and he immediately launches into a harangue against Republicans about Ukraine. Well, this does a couple of things. Okay, first of all, this starts the comparison that he is seeking to make between himself and Republicans. According to Joe Biden, he is the halcyon apex predator of democracy. This guy is democracy embodied. And all of his opponents are fascists. And they're not just fascists, by the way. They're fascists who side with Putin. That was the first 5 to 10 minutes of the speech. We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All right, coming up, Joe Biden believes that he is like FDR. Well, I mean, FDR did die in office. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, exhibitor demonstrations. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $8 admission, 6 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday we honor our veterans with our free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Elwood Ranch, Pedigo Reading, Bridgeford, Garage Force, Crown Motors, and California Customs. See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
But join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden believes that he's like FDR. He opens up with a very weird joke that no one understands, which is his way. And it's just, you have to assume that's what he's going to do at the top now. And then he starts comparing himself to Franklin Delano Roosevelt and suggesting that this is like 1941. Here we go.
Mr. Speaker, Madam Vice President, members of Congress, my fellow Americans, in January 1941, Franklin Roosevelt came to this chamber to speak to the nation, and he said, I address you at a moment unprecedented in the history of the Union. Hitler was on the march. War was raging in Europe. President Roosevelt's purpose was to wake up Congress and alert the American people that this was no ordinary time. Freedom and democracy were under assault in the world. Tonight, I come to this same chamber to address the nation. Now, it's we who face an unprecedented moment in the history of the Union. And yes, my purpose tonight is to wake up the Congress and alert the American people that this is no ordinary moment either. Not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault at home as they are today.
Okay, so his excuse for being a terrible president is that he is facing the two most historic crises of the last two centuries in American life. World War II and the Civil War. Those are the two comparisons he makes off the bat. Now, let's just be clear about where we are in American life right now. You know what we're not doing? Killing each other by the hundreds of thousands, which is what actually happened during the Civil War. You know what we're not doing in America right now? Holding hundreds of thousands of people in abject servitude and bondage, which is what was happening during and before the Civil War in the South. You know what else is not happening right now? We are not fighting a globalized world war against the Nazis and the Japanese and their allies. That's a thing that's not happening right now. I mean, these are things that I noticed. When he compares the state of the country to the Civil War and World War II, that says something about him. It says something about his governance. Because if we are living in a time where zero American troops are currently overtly committed abroad in a war, which is the case, right? We do not have boots on the ground in Ukraine. We do not have boots on the ground in Gaza. Well, we'll get to that in a moment because Joe Biden wants to put boots on the ground in favor of Hamas in Gaza, effectively speaking. It's bizarre. It makes no sense. We'll get to that in a moment. But we don't have major troop commitments around the world right now. We don't have, according to him, any sort of serious economic turmoil. The economy is going great guns. And yet he's comparing us to 1941 and 1861. Why? Both of those situations, America had an enemy. Who are the enemies, according to Joe Biden? The enemies, as it turns out, are two. Russia and you. Those are the two enemies, according to Joe Biden. And that's the linkage. So he leads off with this long harangue about the war in Ukraine, about how this is a war on democracy. Vladimir Putin has invaded a sovereign democratic nation. And he, the whole purpose of that is so he can get to what he says is an assault on democracy at home, right, which is about Donald Trump. There are a few things that are weird about this particular tactic. One, he starts off by saying there's a war on democracy around the world. And then he proceeds to cite the Russian war in Ukraine. Totally fair. That's fine. Ukraine is, in fact, a democratic state, however flawed and corrupt. And Russia is, in fact, an autocracy. There is another democracy, I noticed, that is under grave assault right now from multiple directions, from its north by Hezbollah and from its south by Hamas. It is, in fact, an American ally that just lost 1,200 of its citizens and 240 were taken kidnapped and still 134 are being held hostage. Joe Biden said not one word in terms of attacks on democracy when he was talking about the Iranian multi-pronged attack on Israel. Nothing here. Why? Because he is completely servile to his own base. And when I say his base, I don't even mean most of his base. I mean his radical fringe base. He is servile to the Hamas squad. They are running this place now. They are the captain now. That is why he didn't mention it there. Okay, so he starts off with this long thing about Ukraine and Russia. And I think most Americans are sitting home and they're like, you know, we got some problems at home. Why don't we start with that one? Right? But why don't we start with, like, you know, the border? Why don't we start with inflation? Why don't you make me feel better about my economic prospects? By polling numbers, the Ukraine war is not in the top 10 top American priorities right now, and he led with it. He led with it only because what he's attempting to do is label everyone who disagrees with him, not only in league with Putin, but akin to Putin in terms of trying to overthrow democracy here at home. So he starts off with all this Ukraine talk, and he compares himself to Ronald Reagan, which is amazing since he was an opponent of Ronald Reagan, obviously. He was in the Senate at the time.
Wasn't long ago when a Republican president named Ronald Reagan thundered, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Now, my predecessor, a former Republican president, tells Putin, quote, "Do whatever the hell you want." That's a quote. A former president actually said that. Bowing down to a Russian leader, I think it's outrageous, it's dangerous, and it's unacceptable.
So first of all, he's lying. That's not really what Donald Trump said. What Donald Trump said was everybody in NATO needs to pay a percentage of GDP toward their defense in order to fill their NATO commitment. Or I'm going to say to the Russian leader, do whatever the hell you want, which, of course, he's not really going to do. It's an empty threat. It's a gesture meant to say to NATO, pay your in any case, put aside that. None of this was really about Russia-Ukraine. It was really about you. You, the people. And the people who oppose him are the baddies. Here is Joe Biden making the overt connection between Russia invading Ukraine and January 6th.
My message to President Putin, who I've known for a long time, is simple. We will not walk away. We will not bow down. I will not bow down. In a literal sense, history is watching. History is watching. Just like history watched 3 years ago on January 6th. When insurrectionists stormed this very Capitol and placed a dagger to the throat of American democracy. We must be honest. The threat to democracy must be defended. My predecessor and some of you here seek to bury the truth about January 6th. I will not do that. This is the moment to speak the truth and to bury the lies. Here's the simple truth. You can't love your country only when you win.
Hey, first of all, that last line from Joe Biden is hysterically ridiculous. Democrats, by polling data, like their country when they win. That is just a fact. The polling data demonstrate that a much larger percentage of Democrats than Republicans change their opinion on the very nature of America based on who wins the presidency. Republicans have a pretty even-handed view of America being good. Two-thirds, three-quarters of Republicans are always saying that America is the greatest country in the world. And then, for Democrats, it bounces. If Barack Obama's president, then it's like 55%. And if Donald Trump is president, it's like 35%. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden spends his State of the Union comparing the Russian invasion of Ukraine to January 6th, which is wild. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory, and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center, since 1982. American flags, American made.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Joe Biden compared January 6th to the Russian invasion of Ukraine last night. What he is doing here is so disgusting. Number one, comparing January 6th to the Russian invasion of Ukraine is pretty insulting to Ukrainians because, let's be real, hundreds of thousands of people have been killed and wounded in Ukraine. January 6th, the only person who was killed on January 6th was Ashley Babbitt. It was bad. It was ugly. It was terrible. It was, in fact, a small riot. That is what January 6th was. But Joe Biden has to blow it up into something bigger than that. He has to say that January 6th is emblematic of a threat to democracy akin to Vladimir Putin invading Ukraine and overthrowing the republic. Now, I know a lot of things about January 6th. I hated January 6th. I thought it was terrible. I think that the feelings of people who walked into the Capitol building on January 6th were, in fact, fostered by fibs that Donald Trump was telling after the election about his belief that the election was stolen. However, there's one thing I 100% know about January 6th. It was not a dagger at the throat of democracy. No one in their right mind thought that democracy in the United States was about to be overthrown on January 6th. We all watched the TV, and we said, that's ugly and that's bad, and people who are committing criminal acts should be arrested. That's what rational people did. Only hysterics looked at that and thought, my God, Donald Trump is going to enshrine himself in the White House with his Praetorian Guard. He's going to overthrow democracy, march himself down in purple robes into the Senate chamber and call for the execution of his political enemies. No one thought that was happening. And if you did, it's because you're a stupid person. That's a stupid idea. Within 2 hours, the entire place was cleared and the Republican vice president was certifying the election, along with the Republican majority leader. It was an absurdity to make this claim. But Joe Biden's reelect depends on exactly that. It depends on you, the moderate, the independent, some left-leaning Republican. It depends on you believing that the threat is that if Donald Trump becomes president, democracy ends tomorrow. In the same way that Vladimir Putin is an autocrat, Donald Trump's an autocrat. That's the argument that Joe Biden was making last night. And he kept saying stuff like,
and history is watching. History is watching this. History is an old perv looking through your bathroom window with their binoculars. History, like me.
And when this routine is so tiresome. Okay, so right off the bat, you get Ukraine, January 6th, and then abortion. So, again, the Orwellian nature of Democrats claiming that the essence of freedom is killing your baby is pretty despicable. The distance the Democratic Party has moved, even in my lifetime, on abortion is truly amazing. It was Bill Clinton who was saying safe, legal, and rare, which implies that there is, in fact, a moral problem with abortion. Maybe there are other priorities that outweigh it, but in fact, it's a tragedy and a bad thing. Now, freedom, the ultimate guarantee of freedom is you being able to kill your baby in the womb. So here was Joe Biden attacking the Supreme Court again. This is the guy who 1 second ago was saying, literally in the same speech, that democracy was under attack. And here he is attacking an independent branch of government that is supposed to be nonpartisan in its application of the law and who by law are not allowed to fight back against Joe Biden. They're sitting right there and he's ripping into them. He's just gross.
It's not hyperbole to suggest history is watching or watching. Your children and grandchildren will read about this day and what we do. History is watching another assault on freedom. Like most Americans, I believe Roe v. Wade got it right.
Roe v. Wade? What is Roe v. Wade?
I thank Vice President Harris for being an incredible leader defending reproductive freedom. And so much more. My predecessor came to office determined to see Roe v. Wade overturned. He's the reason it was overturned, and he brags about it.
No!
Look at the chaos that has resulted.
No.
Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what freedom else would you take away?
What freedom else would you take away? And the freedom. And my God.
If you find this sort of thing attractive, I recommend that you watch the entire speech, which was like 70 minutes of this. Just terrible all the way through. Now, again, he's attacking the Supreme Court. They're sitting literally right there. They did not, in fact, suggest that there must be a mandate on pro-life legislation around the country. That's not what Roe versus Wade does. But he is a liar, and the Democrats pretend he's not a liar. When I say Democrats, I mean the media, because they are the same thing. By the way, Donald Trump's position on a federal abortion ban is no. That should be pointed out also. Donald Trump's position on abortion is significantly more moderate than Joe Biden's. Joe Biden's is abort until you're 87. Like, Joe Biden's mother still has a few years to decide whether to abort him or not, according to Joe Biden's policy. But Donald Trump wants, apparently, perhaps a 16-week federal abortion ban, which for those who can't do math is 4 months, which is really, really late-term abortion. That's late. Most of Europe doesn't allow that. But, again, the truth didn't matter. What mattered was the attitude. It also mattered who he was trying to pay off. And, again, this entire election cycle is predicated on a complete misconception about the nature of modern American politics. Every Democrat is in love with 2012. Every Democrat thinks they can replicate the Obama coalition, abandoning the middle and simply getting the base out to vote. It's not going to work. There are not enough of them. There are not. It's a point Nate Silver has made. It's a point Nate Cohn has made. It's a point that pretty much every elections analyst has made. There is not enough juice in the Democratic base for that juice to be squeezed into the White House. That is not a thing. Joe Biden should be tacking toward it, but he can't. He's so afraid of his own base at this point. So last night, for example, he decided to once again call out the head of the UAW. So Joe Biden has overtly sided against American business over and over and over. And one of the ways he has done that is he has sided with the UAW. The UAW, which is dedicated to the proposition that, effectively speaking, American car companies should not be competitive on the world stage. Here was Joe Biden calling out the UAW. By the way, this is what's amazing about this. This would be the equivalent of the president of the United States being a Republican and the president of the United States calling out like the biggest single Republican donor in the country for plaudits. When Joe Biden calls out the unions, he's not doing so because he loves what the unions do. He's doing so because the unions have been paying his freight since he was in the Senate in Delaware and he was 29 years old. Joe Biden has an incredibly cozy and corrupt relationship with American unions. And so here he was basically just saying the quiet part out loud.
Here tonight is UAW President Sean Fain, a great friend and a great labor leader. And
Don Smith, liberator? That's a liberator.
A third generation
Labrador.
Worker, UAW worker at Belvedere. Sean, I was proud to be the first president to stand on the picket line. And today, Dawn has a good job in her hometown, providing stability for her family and pride and dignity as well. Showing once again, Wall Street didn't build America. They're not bad guys. They didn't build it, though. The middle class built the country, and unions built the middle class.
First of all, this line is such absolute horsepucky. It's so stupid. Which middle class? You mean the middle class people who then became rich from building the country and then who didn't build the country, I guess? This notion that the middle class is like a group of people who are just in the middle class their entire life is complete economic ignorance. No single class built the American experiment. A group of people built America. And those people, across the course of their life, and very often moved from poor to middle class to rich, actually. It's just this bizarre notion that there's a basket of people called the middle class is so stupid. My parents have been not rich, and then they've been middle class, and then they've been upper middle class, and now my parents are probably considered fairly well off. Okay, but that's over the course of their life. They started off in like a one-bedroom apartment in Boston, sleeping on the floor. Like this, and that's most people in America. Most people in America have had an income trajectory. So when he says things like the rich people didn't build this country, first of all, the rich people in this country got rich by creating businesses that give you products and services you want to buy. It's not like they just stole the money. The zero-sum thinking from Democrats and economics is insanely ridiculous. It's so facially stupid. But we all have to pretend, I guess, that it's something that makes sense. Yeah, the middle class of this. What about the poor people? They didn't. I guess the poor people didn't, according to Joe Biden. Okay, and then Joe Biden starts talking once more, jabbering about economics. My favorite part of his economics talk, I had two kind of signal moments where I thought this is pretty great. One was when he started talking about the cost of housing. I loved this. He started talking about how inflation was really, really bad. And so to solve inflation, he's going to give you money, which is the opposite of solving inflation. Inflation is defined as too many dollars following too few goods. That is what creates price inflation. And he's like, well, I know inflation's bad. I'm going to solve it by creating more dollars.
I know the cost of housing is so important to you. If inflation keeps coming down, mortgage rates will come down as well. And the Fed acknowledges that. But I'm not waiting. I want to provide an annual tax credit that will give Americans $400 a month for the next 2 years as mortgage rates come down, to put toward their mortgages when they buy their first home or trade up for a little more space.
Oh, so free money. That'll solve the inflation crisis. Then all of a sudden he started jabbering about how he wanted to fly people to Moscow. I like this part a lot. This is pretty great.
I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, but anyone to get an Air Force One and fly to Toronto, Berlin, Moscow. I mean, excuse me. Even Moscow, probably. And bring your prescription with you, and I promise you I'll get it for you for 40% the cost you're paying now. Same company, same drug, same place.
Again, he's going to fly you to Moscow. So now he's doing Tucker Carlson's video about how cheap groceries are in Moscow. That's where we are now with this president. Like the synapses. Really, it's fiery, guys. It's combative. He's more alive than he's ever been. But the underlying point that he is making, which is that you can buy medications more cheaply abroad than you can in the United States, that is because those other countries are cheating. It's because they're cheating. And no American president, right or left, has had the balls to say to any of these other countries that you should not be allowed to pay a lower price than we are paying here in the United States. And we will sanction you if you do. The reason they're doing that is because they are collectively bargaining on behalf of nationalized healthcare systems with drug companies in the United States, and those drug companies being underpaid by Canada then overcharge American citizens to make up for it. The American government should step in, not in order to skew the market at home, which kills all of the research and development, which actually creates the drugs in the first place, but by forcing foreign countries to pay their fair share, the same way that Donald Trump has forced foreign countries to pay their fair share with regard to NATO. Okay, in just 1 second, we'll get to more from Joe Biden's absolutely asinine State of the Union address. And it wasn't just stupid in terms of content. It was aesthetically foolish. His over-the-top demeanor, his yelling, his screaming, his slurring of words. If you felt quieted by that speech, let me just recommend that you see a doctor on your own, because clearly the president needs to see one. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, make life insurance part of your financial planning this year. It's just a smart thing to do. Start shopping now with Policy Genius to find the right policy to protect your family. Luckily, Policy Genius helps you compare your options from top companies, and their team of licensed experts is on hand to help talk you through it. Policy Genius's technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It might not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed award-winning agents who can help find you the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance companies, which means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can actually trust their guidance. No wonder they have thousands of 5-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden, he has this kind of stock rant that he does about billionaires. It's all false because he's a liar. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hi friends, RC here, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, the Diesel Vintage. A smooth burn, a perfect draw, and flavor for days. This is what an expertly crafted Parejo from the farms of A.J. Fernandez offers us. The Diesel Vintage is everything we seek in a fine and exceptional cigar experience. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, Redding, California.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive, and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden's speech was interminable. We're only going to hit a few of the highlights in terms of policy because they're incredibly stupid and because he does that part every year. I really kind of want to focus more on the overall impression that I think people are going to get from the speech. But it's difficult for me to just skip over the lies that he tells. So, for example, clip 13, he starts talking about billionaires in the United States. According to Joe Biden, billionaires don't pay taxes. This is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. I have made in this country some money, more money. A lot of money, a super lot of money. And let me tell you that each step along the way, I have paid more taxes. I pay more taxes now than I have ever paid in my life. I pay millions of dollars in taxes every single year. The idea that I am not paying my fair share is ridiculous because I've been the guy who paid a much lower share of my income to the federal government. When Joe Biden says stuff like the billionaires aren't paying their fair share, let's be clear. The top quintile in terms of income in this country are paying all net taxes, not some, all. So here he is just lying.
You know, there are 1,000 billionaires in America. You know what the average federal tax is for those billionaires? No. They're making great sacrifices, 8.2%. That's far less than the vast majority of Americans pay. No billionaire should pay a lower federal tax rate than a teacher, a sanitation worker, or a nurse.
They're not. They are not. He is a liar.
The minimum tax for billionaires is 25%, just 25%. You know what that would raise? That would raise $500 billion over the next 10 years.
He's not proposing a 25% income tax on billionaires. Because if they're making a billion in income, you're paying a lot more than that in federal income tax. I can promise you that. I know it for a fact. When Joe Biden says things like a minimum tax of 25% for billionaires, he is treating all money that is brought in as the same. He's treating capital gains the same as income. He's also treating wealth the same as income. It makes no sense on and even PolitiFact was like, this makes no sense because it doesn't. And then he started jabbering about potato chips and Snickers. So remember, this is all before he hits immigration. We got to, you have too few potato chips in your Frito-Lays. And also,
remember Snickers? You know, they'll make you angry. If they get angry, you won't want to see me without a Snickers.
We got to that before we got to Lake and Riley. Don't worry, we'll get to that in a moment.
In fact, the snack companies think you won't notice if they change the size of the bag and put a hell of a lot fewer, same size bag, put fewer chips in it. No, I'm not joking. It's called shrinkflation. Pass Bobby Casey's bill and stop this. I really mean it.
I really are.
You probably all saw that commercial on Snickers bars. You get charged the same amount, and you got about, I don't know, 10% fewer Snickers in it.
I love the canned laughter. It's like watching an old episode of Three's Company with this guy.
Yeah. We got a Snickers bar, and then we need to make it illegal for inflation to be happening. If we just say,
And this is all before he got to the border, all of it. He finally got to the border, and then he suggested he's doing everything that he can on the border, and he yells at Republicans for not passing the quote-unquote bipartisan bill in the Senate, for which a majority of Republicans did not vote. A few Republicans voted in favor of it because it was lumped in with also a bunch of aid for Ukraine and Israel. And then came what was probably the hottest moment of the night, and that was Marjorie Taylor Greene. She got up and she started yelling at the president, because the way that this works now, and it's worked this way really since Obama's era, is that there's always some member of Congress who yells at the president, and the president yells back at the member of Congress. This is sort of the way that it goes. And honestly, I'm kind of fine with it. I kind of am. Like, I would rather that American government worked more like British Parliament, where people are just rude to each other and overtly nasty to each other, and we get to see all of it out in the open, as opposed to the kind of false decorum. But in any case, she starts yelling at Biden about Lake and Riley. And he then proceeds to screw this up about three ways from Sunday.
I'd be a winner. Not really. Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand.
Okay, he is disgusting. Let me explain all the ways this is disgusting. One, her name is Lakin Riley, not Lincoln Riley, Lakin Riley. Can you imagine if Donald Trump did that? If somebody was calling out the name of a victim and he proceeded to just botch the name of the victim, first thing, well, by the way, looking at a pin that has her name on it. He can't read anymore, this old bat. He screws that up. Then he says she was killed by an illegal. And you can almost see Kamala Harris crawl under her seat behind him, because that's the thing Democrats don't want you to say. You're not allowed to call. There are no illegal people. They are undocumented. And so this has now opened up a wound on the far left, which demonstrates, by the way, where the Democratic Party are at this point. Democrats are more upset. They have more internal agony over Joe Biden using the term illegal to describe the person who murdered Lakin Riley than screwing up Lakin Riley's name. That shows you where their priorities are, truly. Okay, so that was screw up number two. So there's the Lakin Riley versus Lincoln Riley, who is that's like a football coach or something. That's number one. Number two was the illegal. And then he says how many thousands of people are killed by, so he starts downplaying illegal immigrant crime. He's downplaying it. He's pretending that it doesn't happen, like, at all, or that if it does happen, it's totally fine. And then he uses this and he swivels off of this to attack Donald Trump as being mean to the immigrants. Again, by the way, him screwing up Lakin Riley's name will be in every Republican ad for the foreseeable future. And it should be, because it's gross. It's really gross. Either ignore it, Mr. President, or get her name right. So here he was going after Donald Trump. And again, so much of this is, it was just a political attack speech. That's all it was. It had nothing to do with the State of the Union. Do you feel more informed about the State of the Union today than you did yesterday before having watched this thing? Here he was talking about demonizing immigrants and it's a nation of immigrants and all the usual shtick.
I will not demonize immigrants, saying they are poison in the blood of our country. I will not separate families. I will not ban people because of their faith. Unlike my predecessor, on my first day in office, I introduced a comprehensive bill to fix our immigration system. Take a look at it. It has all these and more. Secure the border.
Every other word.
Provide a pathway to citizenship for dreamers. And so much more. But unlike my predecessor.
Unlike my predecessor.
I know who we are as Americans.
Well, they stop.
We're the only nation in the world.
The entire media are pretending that this was coherent. It's not coherent. I don't like being gaslit. I really don't. Don't tell me that Marjorie Taylor Greene was dressed well last night. Don't tell me that Troy Nell's shirt was fashion forward. And don't tell me that this old bat is coherent, moderate, and somehow a calming presence on the American public scene. The entire media have combined to piss on our leg and tell us that it is raining about this old man. And it is not going to work. I just don't think it is. I don't think you can watch clips of him and think to yourself, he is with it. He seems in control, because he is not. All right, folks, we reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here on Monday with much more. Have a wonderful weekend. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tracy Stevens. At least two people have died after a National Guard helicopter crashed in Texas near the Mexico border, about 15 miles east of Rio Grande City. Officials say two people are dead, at least four more critically injured. So far, the cause of the crash is unknown. The Senate passes a $460 billion spending package to avoid a government shutdown. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell promised last month that the Senate would not allow a shutdown. A win for the Biden administration in the courts.
A federal judge has upheld the use of an immigration program that allows up to 30,000 migrants from four countries into the U.S. per month. The ruling Friday came in response to a lawsuit from Republican-leaning states that argued the humanitarian parole program created a shadow immigration system. They also said the Biden administration program economically burdened states receiving migrants with rising costs of health care, education, and public safety. Advocates for the federal government countered that migrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela who were admitted through the policy helped the U.S. farm labor shortage and reduced the number of people immigrating illegally. Keith Peters reporting.
Lawmakers in at least seven states are taking big legislative swings to regulate bias and artificial intelligence.
As AI is quietly spread through everyday life, filtering job resumes, rental apartment and home loan applications, studies and lawsuits have found they can discriminate based on race, gender, or more. In the absence of federal regulation, the state bills would require transparency from companies that use AI to make consequential decisions for Americans. They include how AI figures into the determinations and the risk of discrimination in its assessments.
At this point, the bias that has been found is anti-white bias. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you tired of the ups and downs of the stock market? Are you sick of logging into your brokerage account only to find out that you've lost hundreds or thousands of dollars in a single day? At MarketBeat, we know that constantly moving in and out of stocks hoping to get lucky is a loser's game. Buying hot stocks after they've already shot up in value is a recipe for disaster. It's time to stop playing the loser's game and invest in stocks that have shown they can stand the test of time. MarketBeat has prepared a free report titled 7 Stocks to Buy and Hold Forever, and we would like to text it to you for free. Text the word PROFIT to 68285. The companies in this report might appear to be nothing special at first glance, but these companies print billions of dollars of cash each year in profit. If you would like to receive our free report of 7 Stocks to Buy and Hold Forever, simply text PROFIT to 68285 and we'll text you this report instantly. Text PROFIT to 68285 and we'll send you this free report right now. Text the word PROFIT to 68285.
Standard message and data rates may apply. Please consult with your investment or tax professional.
Officials say more than 280 Nigerian students have been abducted. Correspondent Charles De La Desma reports.
Women, children, and students are often targeted in mass abductions in Nigeria's conflicted northern region for ransoms. A woman in Kuriga, Kaduna State, Wales, begging for help after gunmen attacked a school and abducted at least 287 students. Locals say the assailants surrounded the government-owned school just as the students were about to start the school day. Security forces and officials later arrived in the village as a search operation unfolded. I'm Charles De La Desma.
Over 27 million people tuned in to watch President Biden's State of the Union address Thursday. Fox News had the largest audience with nearly 6 million people. ABC averaged over 5 million. News and analysis at townhall.com. A total solar eclipse will occur Monday, April 8th, and scientists will be watching zoos to see how animals react.
Several zoos along the path will be monitoring changes in behavior when the skies dim next month. In the past,
the flamingos all gathered around their chicks.
Adam Hartstone Rose at North Carolina State University is leading the team. There was a Komodo dragon.
They're a little bit scary, but they don't do anything.
But when the eclipse started,
just in those couple minutes during the eclipse, it started running around and had a reaction.
For this eclipse, some but not all of these animals will be observed.
We're going to look at a different group of gorillas and see if they behave the same way as previously.
One researcher says eclipses mimic short, fast-moving storms. When skies darken, many animals take shelter. I'm Ed Donahue.
Scientists say that they previously detected other strange animal behaviors during an eclipse in 2017. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474, for your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet. Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, it's Trump versus Biden. Now, we've known that for legitimately months, if not years at this point, but with Nikki Haley dropping out of the race this week, the race is now finalized. It is Trump. It is Biden. Part two, Electric Boogaloo. Are you ready for the sequel? Oh, man. Ah, the revenge campaign. Donald Trump, the first Republican candidate since Richard Nixon to actually be nominated three separate times. And, of course, the first presidential candidate to think about two non-consecutive terms since Grover Cleveland, running against the oldest president in American history, Joe Biden. So if you're excited, let me recommend that it is currently March and there's eight more months of this. We haven't even gotten started yet. And of course, this campaign has been going on for quite a while. Well, Joe Biden is now trotting out a memo. It's been put out by his campaign chair, Jen O'Malley Dillon, and campaign manager, Julie Chavez Rodriguez. And it was issued in full to media outlets. And here is what this memo says. This is a memo that's laying out the Biden strategy against Donald Trump. Subject: Trump enters the general election beleaguered and ill-equipped. The results of last night's Super Tuesday contest cemented what we have known for some time now. Donald Trump limps into the general election as a wounded, dangerous, and unpopular candidate. The Republican nominee is cash-strapped, beleaguered by a host of external issues, and is running on an extreme agenda that is already proving to be a significant liability for key voting blocks that are critical to the pathway to 270 electoral votes. Well, that's some wishful thinking right there, given the fact that Donald Trump is in commanding poll position. He did not lead at pretty much any point in the 2020 race. In fact, in the last few months of polling, Donald Trump led in precisely two polls in the Real Clear Politics polling average. I mean, like, not in the average. Two polls included in that average over the course of the last several months of that election cycle. And then he outperformed the Real Clear Politics polling average by about 3 percentage points. He tends to outperform his polls in general elections because there are so many people who end up voting Trump who don't want to tell pollsters they're actually going to vote for Trump. Right now, Donald Trump has led this race in the Real Clear Politics polling average since mid-September. Joe Biden has led in the last 30 polls a grand total of four. He is tied in two others. Hey. That means, for those counting, that in 24 of the last 30 polls, Donald Trump is in the lead. So when they say that he has significant liabilities, I mean, Donald Trump does have significant liabilities, but he does have one particular asset, and that is that Joe Biden is the other candidate. The memo says, Team Biden-Harris heads into the general election, coming off consistent wins up and down the ballot, maintains a historic and growing grassroots-powered war chest, and now adds a strong Super Tuesday showing last night to enter the general election well-prepared and well-positioned to win this November. Now, notice how much they're relying on the amount of cash they have stacked up in the back room over there. Let me make something very, very clear. The amount of cash you have in a presidential election cycle is no longer determinative of victory. Democrats have routinely outspent Republicans. Donald Trump was outspent by Hillary Clinton widely in 2016. It did not matter. What are you going to do? Change people's opinion of Donald Trump at this point? Everyone knows what they think of Donald Trump at this point. Ain't no late-breaking voters in this election cycle. Donald Trump has been the center of the American political universe since 2015. The year is now 2024, so for fully a decade, the entire political universe has revolved around Donald Trump. Joe Biden has been a known quantity since the 1970s. Joe Biden was in the Senate before I was born. There's no one in this race who's sitting around going, man, I can't. Who are these guys? I need some introductory ads. Probably if they drop $1 billion introducing me to Joe Biden, maybe then I'll think, like, everyone knows what they think of these candidates. But the Biden delusional memo continues. Building off last night's momentum, tomorrow evening's State of the Union address will provide the American people with the latest example of the stark choice they will be confronted with in November between President Biden, who remains laser focused on delivering for the American people while running on a historically popular record of accomplishment. I have some questions. And Donald Trump, whose failed record and dark vision for this country is as dangerous as it is unpopular with the voters who will decide this election. Okay, so first of all, you can tell this isn't an internal memo and that it is directed solely at outside consumption because it's just filled with crap. When they say that Joe Biden is laser focused, only in the sense that a cat is focused laser-like on, you know, like an actual pinpoint of laser on the wall. Joe Biden is not laser focused on anything except his oatmeal, and that only between the time that his oatmeal reaches the bowl and the time that his spoon hits the oatmeal. Between there and his mouth, things go totally haywire. We'll get some more on this in just one second. First.
Hey, everyone. This is Daily Wire Editor-in-Chief John Bickley with Georgia Howe.
We co-host Morning Wire, the daily news podcast created to bring more balance to the national conversation.
We give you the news you need to know in 15 minutes or less without the mainstream spin.
Join us and get the facts first with a new episode every morning.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Daily Wire Plus, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Meanwhile, when they say that Joe Biden is running on a historically popular record of accomplishment, I would love to see some polling that bears that out. National polling 8 months out confirms what we know to be true. This will be a very close general election contest, like all modern presidential elections are, but we have a clear path to victory, say the members of Biden's campaign. Beyond Donald Trump's demonstrated inability to expand his appeal beyond the MAGA base, that is not true, actually, which this memo covers in detail below, upwards of 10% of voters remain undecided, much larger than the current margin between Trump and Biden in polling. So they're now counting on everybody who's counting as undecided to vote in favor of Joe Biden. Good luck with that. I think that that is very large scale wishful thinking. That's a bunch of people who don't want to say they're voting for Trump. I would bet that independents in this election cycle, if the election were held today, would vote for Trump. They would break for Trump. Those voters are highly supportive of the policies of the Biden-Harris administration, like protecting abortion access, lowering the cost of prescription drugs, and defending the Affordable Care Act. Yeah, because there are so many people right now I've talked to, and you've talked to, so many voters who are deeply worried about Obamacare at this point. These undecided voters are also the least tuned in to politics of any group. Heading into Super Tuesday, 31% of all voters said they are not even certain Trump will be the Republican nominee. So they're counting on the ignorant voters to carry them through. Well, again, I don't think that's going to work. So they say, here are the key questions that everyone should be asking. Quote, which candidate is consolidating their coalition? The answer there is actually Donald Trump, not Joe Biden. Joe Biden's got real coalitional problems. Moderates in his coalition do not like the radicals. The radicals do not like the moderates. Which candidate is amassing the resources and building the infrastructure necessary to run a modern campaign that reaches the voters who will decide the selection? This is where Democrats really do have an advantage. The RNC has done a piss-poor job of trying to arrange resource allocation, raising money and spending it in order to actually get people out to vote on the day of the election, going and picking up ballots in places where ballot harvesting is legal. Democrats do have an advantage there, and Republicans do need to pour money into that, not into Trump's legal issues. They need to be pouring money into all of the get-out-the-vote efforts that Democrats are pouring money into. Most importantly, which candidate has a winning agenda and a winning track record at the ballot box? For each and every one of these questions, they say the answer is the same. Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the only candidate in history who has beaten Donald Trump, and he will do so again. Well, I mean, pretty small sample size. I mean, like, he ran once and he won once. I wouldn't call that quite dispositive. And then they say that Joe Biden is consolidating his coalition because he has strong support in diverse states with black, Latino, white working class, and suburban voters. He's underpolling with all of them. And then they look at the actual primary states and say that he's doing like an amazing job. He's running unopposed. Donald Trump's primary performances, says the Biden campaign, are a major warning sign for the GOP and an opportunity for President Biden to expand his coalition. Trump heads into the general election unable to expand his support beyond the hardcore MAGA base, and they just are citing Nikki Haley. Well, the problem is a huge percentage of Nikki Haley voters were Democrats who crossed over to vote in open primaries. So again, this is a lot of wishful thinking on the part of Team Biden. They say that as voters tune into the election, Biden can expand his coalition and consolidate his support. Today's media consumption is more fragmented and personalized than ever. For most Americans, the November election has not yet become a daily topic at the kitchen table. I don't think that that's true either. Because again, the candidates are all known quantities. We know all of them. And everybody who is not in the Biden campaign knows this. Steve Kornacki, the pollster extraordinaire, his poll analysis on MSNBC is actually quite good at his job, Steve Kornacki. He points out that actually, if you're talking about who is coalescing the base, it is not Joe Biden, it is Donald Trump.
In the context of what we're seeing in the general election, the one who has the issue right now with the base is more Biden than Trump. Because this is from the New York Times poll. They asked folks, hey, you voted for Trump in 2020. Are you still with Donald Trump? 97% of his 2020 voters say they're still with him. Ask Biden's 2020 voters, are you still with Biden? The number is 85% there. So at least right now in the general election polling, it's Trump who's taking more from Biden's voters than Biden who's taking from Trump's voters.
Not just that. In the primaries, people who are voting for Trump say they are excited not just to vote against Biden, they are excited to vote for Trump. Joe Biden's voters, no one is excited to vote for Joe Biden. They're only excited to vote against Donald Trump. That's kind of a problem for him. Speaking of coalescing the base, even people who are considered anti-Trump Republicans, people like Mitch McConnell, the outgoing Senate minority leader, Mitch McConnell endorsed Trump today.
Mr. Lee, how do you reconcile your Trump endorsement with the fact that you called him practically and morally responsible for January 6th and the fact that he insulted you and your wife repeatedly?
Well, February the 25th, 2021, shortly after the attack on the Capitol, I was asked a similar question. And I said I would support the nominee for president even if it were the former president.
Senator McConnell, in April of last year, you indicated and didn't really directly answer the question as to whether or not you were comfortable with Mr. Trump if he was in the middle of criminal trials and indictments, he was the nominee. I presume that means you're comfortable with him.
I don't have anything to add to what I just said. I said in February of 2021, shortly after the attack on the Capitol, that I would support President Trump if he were the nominee of our party, and he obviously is going to be the nominee of our party.
Okay, that is Mitch McConnell saying the obvious. If you get Mitch McConnell behind you and you're the Republican Party, you ain't going to have a problem turning out the base. You're not going to have a problem with the coalescing of the Republican Party. The same is not true for Democrats. And as for those moderate voters, Joe Biden is the one who has been alienating them by moving toward people like Bernie Sanders. Bernie keeps threatening Joe Biden from his left. According to the Washington Post, in a meeting in the Oval Office last fall with Biden and senior White House aides, Bernie Sanders quoted from a speech delivered by FDR in one of the most successful Democratic presidential reelection campaigns of the last 100 years. Pointing to a portrait of Roosevelt that hangs above the Oval Office's fireplace, Sanders cited Roosevelt's 1936 remarks at Madison Square Garden, emphasizing the extent of elite business opposition to the New Deal. And then he suggested that Joe Biden needs to run as FDR, that he has to affirm the public's frustration over the economy and focus on identifying the political opposition to enacting the president's agenda like big business and big pharma. Again, if Joe Biden is relying on electoral victory for advice from Bernie Sanders, good luck to you, sir. Now, of course, the biggest problem for Joe Biden is that he is personally a deeply unattractive candidate. Not only do most people think that he is not sympathetic and that he is manipulative, which is a big difference from 2020. In 2020, he was sort of the benevolent old fellow who didn't really know what he was doing. It's kind of a fuddy-duddy, but at heart, a nice guy. And now he has been exposed as somebody who is willing to do pretty much anything for political gain, label his political opposition enemies of the state. He's somebody who will go to funerals for other people's children and then claim that his son died in Iraq. And he'll use that as an excuse for pretty much everything. He's somebody who has engaged in corruption for decades with members of his own family. And more than anything else, the man is just not with us. That is a major problem. It is a major problem. Donald Trump is old, but Donald Trump is still energetic. Joe Biden is old, and Joe Biden is not alive anymore. And this is going to be a continuing problem. And so basically, Democrats have two choices, both of them unpalatable with regard to Joe Biden. Choice number one is to just whistle past the literal graveyard at this point, pretend everything is fine. That is choice being taken by Joe Scarborough. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First, make life insurance part of your financial planning this year. It's just a smart thing to do. Start shopping now with Policy Genius to find the right policy to protect your family. Luckily, Policy Genius helps you compare your options from top companies, and their team of licensed experts is on hand to help talk you through it. Policy Genius's technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It might not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed award-winning agents who can help find you the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance companies, which means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can actually trust their guidance. No wonder they have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Save time and money and provide your family with financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Scarborough has some very generous words for the President of the United States. And by generous, I mean he's saying crazy things. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Reading, when was the last time you experienced Black Bear Diner? Entrepreneur Magazine recently recognized this hometown diner as a top growing national restaurant. Why? Because there's always plenty for your paws. With delicious homestyle options that deliver choice, value, variety, and a cozy way to make memories and celebrate occasions. Come on in and remind yourself what guests all over the country are discovering.
Black Bear Diner.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Hi, I'm Adam Ryan, presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those individuals that are interested in serving on the Shasta County Grand Jury. To apply or get more information, please visit our website at ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
The Grand Jury is one of the most important and interesting volunteer opportunities you can be part of. Applications are now being accepted. To apply or get more details, visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Please apply now.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Scarborough, he's a funny, silly man, and he had funny, silly things to say. So Joe Scarborough yesterday, in full Baghdad Bob mode, talking about how actually, Joe Biden he's in tip top shape. He's incredible. That dude is doing hamstrings back at the White House. You should see him. I mean, it's like he can do an iron cross. You see him on the rings? It's unreal, Joe Biden. Here we go.
But comparing that guy's mental state, I've said it for years now. He's cogent. But I undersold him when I said he was cogent. He's far beyond cogent.
Wow.
In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been.
Ever.
Intellectually.
Wow.
Analytically. Because he's been around for 50 years. And, you know, I don't know if people know this or not. Biden used to be a hothead. Sometimes that Irishman would get in front of the reasoning. Sometimes he would say things he didn't want to say. This is, and I don't really, you know what, I don't really care. Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. Not a close second. And I've known him for years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50 years. If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't say it.
You might say it, because it's not true. If this is the best version of Joe Biden, what does the worst version of Joe Biden look like exactly? I mean, the guy can't even say full sentences anymore. He walks into walls. He has no idea where he is half the time. Also, side note, Joe Scarborough increasingly looks like Where's Waldo, but that's a side point. Or you could be Joy Reid. This is it. So the memo has gone out. MSNBC is just going to say the thing. They're going to say the reason that Joe Biden looks old and is old is not because he's old. It's because he's actually unbelievable at the job. That Joe Scarborough clip is pretty insane. Joy Reid tries to match him point for point here. She says the reason that Joe Biden looks old is because he's working so darn hard. It's because it's not because he's 81 years old, which is kind of old. It's because he's working so hard at being president, so hard that he calls a lid at 11:30 every morning and then proceeds to wander around the White House in his bathrobe trying to grab his dog's tail because, look, a doggy. And then he falls over occasionally. And then they bring him his dinner from Denny's. And then they shovel him off to bed. And in the morning, the night nurse comes in. She cleans up the bed. She redoes the covers. They stick him full of something. He goes out there. He goes, anyway, and then a lid. So here's Joy. The real reason he looks old, guys, is because he's efforting so hard, so much effort.
Donald Trump had one job. He had one crisis. He said, oh, all of these things were perfect. You had one crisis, bruh. It was called the pandemic. And you know what you did? You bollocksed it completely. You did so poorly at managing your sole crisis, the one hard thing you have to do, the reason he doesn't look old like Biden looks older, the presidency ages you when you do the job. Obama went gray because he was doing the work. Donald Trump looks the same as when he ran because he was playing golf the whole time.
Oh, that's what happened. That's what happened. I mean, also, Barack Obama was in the White House for 8 years and was much younger when he started. So, I mean, people sort of age incrementally. As they get older, they hit a certain age and they sort of look kind of the same because they're kind of old. Yeah, that's just the way that it is. But, like, it's because Joe Biden's working hard that he's old? That's weird. Because I know a bunch of people who are exactly Joe Biden's age and are way more with it than Joe Biden. One of the beauties of going to my synagogue is that there's a lot of intergenerational contact. Like, people who are my age go out to lunch with people who are 80. And I got to tell you, I know a dozen people who are 81 years old who are way more with it than Joe Biden is at this point. So that is strategy number one for the Democrats, is pretend actually everything is fine. The other strategy is the Hillary Clinton strategy. And I know this is the first time I'm ever going to say this. Points for honesty to Hillary Clinton. She says, yeah, he's old, but, you know, you got to go with him. This, by the way, is the proper Democratic argument. It's the same argument they made about John Fetterman. The basic argument is this. Sure, the brain don't work good, but, you know, the alternative is worse. That's actually Democrats' best argument here, because they certainly cannot keep talking about how Joe Biden is super with it.
Somebody the other day said to me, Zerlina, well, but, you know, Joe Biden's old. I said, you know what? Joe Biden is old. Let's go ahead and accept the reality. Joe Biden is old. So really, pick between your two old ones and figure out how you're going to save our democracy.
Okay, so that at least is an angle. But Joe Biden won't take that angle. Because, again, the thing about Joe Biden is he actually still thinks he's a spring chicken. And literally last week, he suggested that he is with Jill Biden and they have a great marriage because of the sex. And every single person in human contact began to vomit. It was an amazing, I mean, he has that effect on people, but that, I mean, we didn't need to hear about Joe's sex life. By the way, I don't believe him. That prostate gave out long ago. In any case, Donald Trump is obviously going to challenge Joe Biden on this front. And so today, he came out and he said that he wants a primary debate with Joe Biden. He tweeted, quote, "It is important for the good of our country that Joe Biden and I debate issues that are so vital to America and the American people. Therefore, I'm calling for debates anytime, anywhere, any place. Debates can be run by the corrupt DNC or their subsidiary, the Commission on Presidential Debates. I look forward to receiving a response. Thanks for your attention to this matter." So the fact that Donald Trump is like, I don't care, anytime, any place, anyone, doesn't matter. Now, in front of a doghouse, in front of the Four Seasons Gardening and Lawn Club, don't care, anywhere. That's because Donald Trump is working under the correct assumption that even a mild juxtaposition between him saying sentences and Joe Biden saying sentences will not end well for Joe Biden. All right, coming up, Karine Jean-Pierre has asked a critical question. Will Joe Biden debate? Her answer, what do you think? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blazengame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, exhibitor demonstrations. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $8 admission, 6 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday we honor our veterans with our free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Elwood Ranch, Pedigo Reading, Bridgeford, Garage Force, Crown Motors, and California Customs. See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
A
Attention adventure seekers. Save the date for the 30th annual Safari Club International Banquet hosted by the Reading Chapter of Safari Club International on April 27th at the Wind River Resort Center beginning at 5 p.m. Immerse yourself in the thrill of our auction featuring guns, hunting trips, equipment, and breathtaking artwork. Get ready for games and a drawing with fantastic prizes. For more details and tickets, visit sciredding.org. Join us for an unforgettable evening of camaraderie and conversation. See you there.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horrod with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Experience for the first time glowing wild an illuminated wildlife lantern display at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Open select dates March 29th through May 26, 2024. Year of the Dragon. Glowing Wild will feature 10 acres of botanical gardens filled with larger-than-life Asian lantern displays of animals from around the world, plus music, animation, food and drinks, and more. Don't miss Glowing Wild at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Original Butcher. Original Butcher.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Donald Trump wants Joe Biden to debate. And for that to be an actual possibility, Joe Biden would first have to be able to talk in the English language. Here's Corinne Jean-Pierre asked specifically about whether Joe Biden would debate Donald Trump. Now, of course, it's not going to happen. There's no way in hell. And frankly, I'm kind of surprised that she doesn't just say that. That she doesn't just say, in it is the position of this campaign that Donald Trump is an insurrectionist and we don't debate insurrectionists. Or we don't debate people who have actually had civil judgments against them for rape. Or, like, there are 1,000 lines she could use, and instead, they're just going to keep pretending that they don't know the answer to this when everyone knows the answer to it.
Is President Biden going to commit to a debate with Donald Trump?
That's something for the campaign to speak to.
Well, we know when the debates are going to be. We know where they're going to be. Is he going to go?
You should speak to the campaign.
In 2020, once it got down to one-on-one, Joe Biden said, I can hardly wait to debate him. How about now?
I'm going to sound like a broken record. You should reach out to the campaign.
Okay, that is not just a campaign question. That's a question of presidential scheduling. They're not asking about Donald Trump's political chances. They're asking whether Joe Biden will show up to a debate, which is a presidential question as well as a campaign question. And then Corinne Jean-Pierre has asked, you know, the president has note cards for pretty much everything. Like, you may notice this. Every so often, they'll catch him on screen, and he'll be holding a note card, and there'll be a zoom into the note card, and it will say, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, because Joe Biden has to be informed on every basic matter in his life. So a reporter asked her, she's like, are you getting on his case because he uses note cards? Well, yeah, because he does it for, like, every single human thing, every human activity. Now, listen, I know about being cute, right? My schedule is a mess. I have an assistant, Kelly, who basically makes sure that I take out the garbage. That's not quite the same thing as if I went on the show every single day with a set of note cards, and then I was like, here we go.
Why does the president rely so heavily on note cards?
You're upset because the president has note cards?
Yes.
You're asking me a question about the president having note cards?
Yes.
I'm asking why.
The president had probably one of the most successful first 3 years of an administration than any modern day president.
That's your response? You? How dare you ask about the fact that the president of the United States is senile? Are you saying that this man, this magnificent human specimen, that this virile man, that this example of human powerhouse qualities, this man, you're saying? Yeah, that's what we're asking. We're asking about the note cards. Yes. I love people. The righteous indignation about basic questions, like why does the president read off note cards and why can't he read? Those ones are pretty easy. So all of this stacks up for it's going to be a fascinating State of the Union tonight. Who's ready for a State of the Union? So here's my obligatory 30-second rip on the State of the Union. I hate the State of the Union. It's monarchic crap. There's no reason that the legislature, which is a co-equal and, in fact, under the Constitution, predominant branch, in American government in terms of legislation should kowtow to the president, where no matter who the president is, he walks in and everybody grips and grins and does a picture with him and they all do weird smiles and then they stand up and they clap and then they sit down as though we're at some sort of strange rock concert where half of the concert is populated by a cult worshiping the rock star and the other half of the concert just hates them. And like, it's so stupid. The whole thing is dumb. And then everybody has guests up in the balcony and we pretend that we care who the guests are. Oh, look, the president is calling on Rando McJones over there.
Rando, stand up and explain how Rando's a good plumber. He's a hell of a plumber, Rando. Rando, take a Rando.
And we do that for like 8 hours. Okay, but with that out of the way, I will say that I'm looking forward to the State of the Union. Why, you may ask? Because it's going to be amusing. It's going to be amusing. He's going to say a bunch of dumb stuff. He's going to say a bunch of dumb stuff about politics. It's not going to make any sense. He's going to give you a giant list of things that he wants to do.
Oh, no, I care. If we stick together and we try really, really hard, we can cure cancer with a moonshot.
He's used that in every single State of the Union address of his presidency and every speech before that. And then you're going to get him talking about
all the corporations, all the corporations. You're not getting fewer chips in your bag of chips. And let me tell you, when I open that Lay's potato chips, I want every chip in there. Not 7 chips, 9 chips.
We'll get some of that. We'll get some of the.
I have presided over the most job creation in American history, if you don't count the part where, you know, we had a giant panda. And inflation is good.
It's going to be a lot of that. But what are we all watching for? We're watching to see whether he lives. So this is high this high stakes stuff, guys. Because basically, we are watching the political version of Saul. He's down in the basement. He's chained down there. It's going to end real poorly. And not quite how it's going to end real poorly. Is he going to escape? Is he going to gnaw off his own political leg? What's it going to be? What happens if the teleprompter goes on the fritz? Going to end his presidency? All you need is one guy going after that plug and that's it. You pull the plug on the teleprompter, you pull the plug on Joe Biden. Can you imagine Joe Biden trying to riff for more than 27 seconds? Woo! So, that's going to be the amusing part. And so we are all going to be watching this on tenterhooks. I mean, it's the same feeling you have when you watch Joe Biden go up the stairs. Now, listen, as a parent of 4 young children, 10, 7, 4, and 9 months, like I said, I spend virtually all of my day when I'm not on the air with the kids. And that means that I spend an enormous amount of time trying to foresee obstacles to their physical health. And because kids are little suicide machines, all they do is run into things. If there's anything in a remote area that can harm them, they will be there in a second. They're like they're magnetically drawn to things that can harm them. So I can spot threats like a mile off. Like my kid is on a tall chair and the kid starts like even remotely rocking that chair, the kid's off the chair, right? Because you know that like Chekhov's gun, it will be like the chair will topple. Somebody will get hurt. You spend your entire life guarding against that. That's like watching the Joe Biden speech now. I'm watching the Joe Biden speech and I can see it coming. I can see it coming like a train down the tracks, bearing down on old Joe. And that train is physical reality. Will he have like a full on 2 minute just gaffe where he just starts speaking in tongues? Is he going to go out there and start talking about his favorite episode of Mr. Rogers? No one knows. Is he going to get up there and start jabbering about his sex life with Jill? Could happen. And frankly, I'm here for it. This is the most suspenseful State of the Union address of my lifetime, by far. And I'm kind of looking forward to it, to be honest with you. Good news is that you can watch it with us tonight, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. You can watch it. We're going to be doing our backstage live. And again, I will say there is only one way, I think, that Joe Biden can actually make the speech a success. And no, it's not to take enormous amount of Hunter's cocaine. I think the only way that he can actually make this a success is that at some point he's going to have to reach into his actual podium, and then he's going to have to say,
and I have something here for you, something that I think will change your day.
Cerveza Cristal! That's the only way that this is going to be good. But I'll be honest. You know, I don't get my entertainment from politics. I take it too seriously. But if you can't see this for the comedy routine that it most definitely is, I pity you. I pity the fool who can't see how ridiculous this is going to be. Okay, meanwhile, speaking of ridiculous people getting hit in the face by reality, Kathy Hochul is the governor of New York. Remember that time that the New York Times went absolutely insane? The entire staff, they went absolutely insane because the New York Times in the middle of gigantic, historic, large riots in the middle of 2020, most damaging riots in terms of property damage in American history, $2 billion in property damage. You remember that Tom Cotton, the senator from Arkansas, he had the temerity to suggest that perhaps the National Guard should be called out to, you know, arrest people who are burning things down. And everyone at the New York Times went nuts. It was insane. People will get killed. We were told by people like Nicole Hannah-Jones, that brilliant mind. I'm being incredibly sarcastic right now. Nicole Hannah-Jones is a dullard. Nicole Hannah-Jones, the historical falsifier. She's like, everybody in the New York Times, in the op-ed page, in the news page, they're like, this op-ed will get people killed. People will die because you suggested that the National Guard be called on rioters. That is unacceptable. And James Bennett, who's the op-ed editor, he had to resign over it for the great sin of publishing the most commonsensical op-ed perhaps the New York Times has ever published. I still love that the New York Times will print op-eds from like genocidal heads of Iran, from actual terrorists working for Hamas. Tom Cotton writes an op-ed like, hey, you know, guys, maybe like if the cops can't handle it, we should call the National Guard. And everybody in the New York Times is like, no. Well, now the chickens are coming home to roost, ain't they? Because Kathy Hochul, the far left governor of New York, she has now announced that she is going to deploy 750 members of the National Guard and 250 state and MTA police officers to the subways. This is how bad things have got at the New York subways. So it turns out that broken windows policing, which is if you have somebody jumping a turnstile, you arrest them and then you put them in jail for a prolonged period of time. And then people won't commit bigger crimes. Broken windows theory, which was first promulgated by James Q. Wilson, the sociologist, his basic theory is that if you have a neighborhood and a window is broken and not fixed and the person who breaks the window is not arrested, soon there will be lots of broken windows and then there will be property damage and then there will be violent crime. That, of course, is right. New York, because it decided on no cash bail, catch and release for criminals, essentially, because they decided they weren't even going to police at all so-called minor crimes like jumping turnstiles. Well, sooner or later, what you end up with is people getting pushed on the tracks in New York City. And so now Kathy Hochul has been forced to deploy the National Guard to the subway system of the biggest city in America, plus 250 state and MTA police officers to check bags. You might call it stop and frisk. That's what you might call it. You might call it actually, you know, search and seizure. You might call it that. You could. I mean, I was told that was racist. I was told that that's because probably she hates black people. That's the only explanation I can think of. She clearly hates minorities. That's why she's doing this. So here was Kathy Hochul announcing this to the consternation of the New York Times.
So Hochul announced a 5-point plan today, which includes deploying 750 National Guard soldiers and 250 New York State and transit officers to do random bag checks at the city's busiest transit stations, installing new cameras, including ones in conductor cabins, proposing a bill to keep those who assault people off the subway, increasing coordination between district attorneys and police about repeat transit crime offenders, and expanding teams who are trained to help those dealing with a mental health crisis on the subway system. Now, there's already pushback to these new changes. Transit advocates say the bag searches are a waste of resources, and the NYCLU says black and brown New Yorkers will be targeted. Governor Kathy Hochul says, though, if someone refuses a random bag check, they won't be riding the train.
They can refuse.
And we can refuse
them. We can refuse them. Okay, they can walk.
Whoa! Kathy Hochul, welcome to the Republican Party. Woo! Look at that fascist lady. She's a white fascist, she is. Alrighty, coming up, I have to say, this is the most hilarious story of the last several years. New York City has now made Tom Cotton the mayor, or something. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tagger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster is proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
25.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So it's always fun when reality clocks people who have dumb policies right in the face. So, again, the state of New York is now deploying the National Guard to shut down the crime. Now, you might think that they could have, you know, allowed the police to do that, but no, that's silly. No, no, no. They're going to send state troops down to police over there. And presumably, the members of the New York Times will lose their ever-loving mind over all of this. Besides bag checks, the five initiatives include a $20 million plan to beef up the number of clinical teams responding to people in mental distress on subways from 2 to 10 system-wide. Wait, hold up. Wait, so there's going to be $20 million for 10 teams to respond to system-wide distress? I mean, I may not be an expert at math. How big are those teams? That's a lot of money. My goodness. Another of Hochul's five initiatives is her support of the MTA's plan to install surveillance cameras inside conductor and train operator cabs. Surveillance cameras? No, that can't be okay. I mean, what about privacy concerns for people who are peeing in the subway stations? I mean, I've been told by the left that all this is bad, and if Rudy Giuliani were doing any of it, he would be a fascist. Or if Michael Bloomberg were doing any of it, he would be a fascist. But Kathy Hochul is doing it, and we know she's good because she's a Democrat. That's the way this works. All of this is a direct response to the slashing of an MTA conductor named Alton Scott, who narrowly survived a random assault last week when he stuck his head out of his cab as his train stopped at a Brooklyn subway station. So he stuck his head out and someone slashed his neck, which is like New York, man, place where dreams come true. If you can make it there, you literally can make it anywhere because you have to survive. Apparently, Transit Brass declined to comment on Wednesday how many stations might need upgrades to their camera coverage, citing security concerns. They don't even want to say how many places are lacking cameras. They're afraid the criminals are going to go over there. They're also going to hire a new criminal justice advocate to assist the victims of crime in the system and develop a system to flag recidivist offenders to district attorneys, which is like all of them. So I'm pleased to see that reality has finally hit Kathy Hochul. And again, all credit to Tom Cotton, who's a very bad man because he is a Republican, but all credit to Kathy Hochul. She's obviously just trying to keep the peace. Meanwhile, the city of San Francisco has been hit by reality as well. And it's hilarious. I'm into it. So the San Francisco Chronicle had an actual headline today titled, "Voters Make It Clear That San Francisco Can No Longer Be Called a Progressive City." Oh, no. Be still, my beating heart. What happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. According to Politico, the liberal bastion of San Francisco pivoted rightward in Tuesday's election as voters responded to ongoing drug, homelessness, and crime crises by approving policies that bolster police and require drug screening for welfare recipients. Wait, did I get elected mayor of San Francisco and I didn't know it? That's weird. They're all the policies I've been recommending for literally decades at this point. The result represents a major victory for embattled Mayor London Breed, a moderate Democrat who faces a tough fight for a second full term in November. She hitched her political future to a slate of three ballot measures that aim to move a city struggling with its slow post-pandemic recovery in a strikingly more conservative direction. So voters approved all three of her measures, including her proposal to screen and mandate addiction treatment for people receiving county welfare. So that's right. She's not going to drug test you before the city cuts you a check, which used to be like baseline Republican policy. And Democrats who wish to win victory are now embracing those policies. So here is the question. Will Joe Biden do the same on a national level? Because it turns out even Democrats don't like living in hellholes like the New York City subway system or the streets of San Francisco. They don't like it at all. London Breed said, quote, "We want San Francisco to be exactly what the people who live here want to see. That is a safe, affordable place to call home. Well, all that's going to require is you to stop being a far-left crazy person." And it seems as though even the San Francisco voters are beginning to realize that. Besides the drug screening requirement, London Breed proposed expanding police officers' authority to chase suspects and to use drones and video surveillance. She also joined pro-development advocates to back waiving the local tax for developers who convert office buildings into housing. Wait, she's relieving housing regulations and lowering taxes? So she took them directly to voters. Critics attribute her move to the right to desperation amid dismal approval ratings and a growing field of mayoral challengers. They accuse her of trying to turn the city of peace and love into a city catering to the interests of the wealthy. I was unaware that poor people loved crime and drug use, but apparently that's something that people in San Francisco think. So congratulations to San Francisco on meeting with reality. That's exciting stuff. Now, meanwhile, again, the administration continues to refuse to meet with reality. When it comes to the latest with regard to the Middle East, the United States government continues to promote this idea that a ceasefire is just around the corner if only Hamas will see reason. Spoiler alert, they won't. They're a terrorist group. They seek Palestinian suffering because they think that they will find useful idiots in the West willing to run cover for them to retain power the more suffering they achieve. That's the math here. Israel does not wish to maximize Palestinian suffering. They wish to maximize Hamas death. They wish to depose Hamas in the Gaza Strip and replace that with something that is not a terrorist entity hell-bent on destroying the state of Israel. And Hamas has a different agenda. Hamas's agenda is to get as many Palestinians killed as humanly possible, so that the West will then say to Israel to stop. And then Hamas can retain its position in the Gaza Strip and hopefully maximize its position also in the West Bank. That is literally Hamas's agenda. That's why it's so bizarre. The West is like, why won't Hamas sign on to... Maybe because their strategic interest dictates they not sign on to a ceasefire. A ceasefire is bad for Hamas. Because a ceasefire means that the pressure ratchets down on Biden from the West, from the left-wingers. And it ratchets down on Israel from the left-wingers during a ceasefire. And then Israel builds up again, and then they go into Rafah, and they finish this thing off. So Hamas does not want a ceasefire, actually. Hamas wants to retain the hostages, so they can use them as leverage. Plus, they're probably continually raping many of them. And many of them are already dead. There's still six American citizens who are being held hostage by Hamas. And yet the Biden administration continues to trot out this bizarre line that somehow Israel has to fight the war nicer. They have to fight the war, it has to be a nicer war. There needs to be some way of getting humanitarian aid in there. Well, Israel is shipping in more aid now than they did before October 7th. They're now shipping in something like 300 trucks a day into the Gaza Strip or making available those trucks. No one wants to drive in there. I wonder why. Why wouldn't anyone want to drive into the Gaza Strip? After all, it's filled with nice, decent Palestinian civilians and Hamas fellow travelers who will most certainly be kind and gentle to the drivers of the trucks, or they might kill them and steal the aid. It could be that. So the Biden administration continues to put the pressure on Israel, mainly because they feel that they won't be able to put pressure on Hamas. And so that, of course, gives Hamas every reason in the world to be as intransigent as they want to be. According to the New York Times, talks between Israel and Hamas over the release of dozens of Israeli hostages have stalled, dimming hopes that a deal could be reached before Ramadan begins in a few days. Again, this whole timeline of, well, we better stop this thing before Ramadan. Wouldn't want any fighting during Ramadan. Well, we can't. It's like Dr. Strangelove. We can't fight in here. This is the war room. Oh, you mean the Islamic holiday of Ramadan? Wow. That radical Muslims consider to be not only extremely holy, but so holy that no one may do anything except for them if they're killing Jews or something. Like that, clearly Ramadan is the dividing line. That's where things have to stop dead. Negotiators had been discussing a proposal for an initial six-week ceasefire during which Hamas would release about 40 people, including women, elderly, and ill hostages, and five female Israeli soldiers for a substantial number of Palestinian prisoners. The discussions included terms for releasing at least 15 prisoners convicted of serious acts of terrorism who would be exchanged for the female soldiers. The terms also said Israel would release hundreds of other detainees or prisoners, an average of 10 Palestinians for every Israeli civilian freed. These are the terms Hamas turned down. So Hamas was going to get back 400 terrorists for 40 hostages who are innocent. And they turned it down. And they turned it down because they want more Palestinians to die, because they think the more pressure they keep on Joe Biden, the more he's going to pressure Israel. It's that simple. American officials had said they hoped to put an agreement in place to release some hostages, to do that before Ramadan. But in recent days, Hamas has backed away from the proposed agreement and made demands that Israel refuses to meet. Well, yes, because those demands include things like end the war. Israel isn't going to leave Hamas in place. No government in Israel, left, right, or center, could leave Hamas in place. Alrighty, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here tomorrow with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tasha Stevens. Authorities say a suspected attack by Yemen's Houthi rebels set off explosions ahead of a vessel in the Gulf of Aden.
No one was hurt, and the ship continued on its way. That's according to the British military's UK Maritime Operations Centre, which watches over Mideast waterways. The Houthis did not immediately claim responsibility for the attack, something that typically takes them several hours. Friday's assault comes after a Houthi missile struck a commercial ship in at the Gulf of Aden on Wednesday, killing three of its crew members and forcing survivors to abandon the vessel. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
A hot mic at the State of the Union event may be a problem for U.S.-Israel relations. President Biden could be heard telling a Democrat senator, quote, I told him, Bibi, and don't repeat this, but you and I are going to have to come to Jesus meeting, end quote. An aide quickly rushed over to tell Biden that his mic was on. The Biden administration has been critical of Benjamin Netanyahu and his government's efforts to wipe out terror group Hamas following that October terror attack. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says he's still hopeful the terror group will accept terms of a ceasefire.
The issue is whether Hamas will decide or not to have a ceasefire that would benefit everyone. The ball is in their court. We're working intensely on it. And we'll see what they do. But there's no doubt in my mind that getting to this ceasefire with the release of hostages would be a profound benefit to everyone involved.
Hamas is claiming five people were killed when an airdrop failed to open, bringing a pallet down on a group of people. Video on social media has shown Palestinians making videos of themselves tossing aid packages from the U.S. into garbage cans. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Factor pain relief, it's natural pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
Seth Hullhaus brings hope and insight as he fights against socialism and communism on the Man in America podcast, now available on the Salem Podcast Network.
The role of the digital world in shaping our perception of the real world cannot be overlooked. It seems like all of these mechanisms are dividing us in endless ways.
Subscribe to Man in America today on Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Rumble, or at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
Military Ospreys are flying again after a crash that killed eight.
U.S. Naval Air Systems Command on Friday announced the return of the Ospreys, which fly like an airplane and convert to a helicopter. Japan's defense minister says his nation will likewise return its Ospreys to flight status following an adequate analysis of the crash. before clearing the Ospreys. U.S. officials said they put increased attention on its prop rotor gearbox, instituted new limitations on how it can be flown, and added maintenance inspections. The U.S. fleet was grounded December 6th, a week after a CV-22B Osprey crashed off Yakushima Island. Keith Peters reporting.
A United Airlines jet went off the runway at Houston's Intercontinental Airport. The 737 MAX 8 reportedly suffered landing gear failure. No injuries reported. It comes one day after another United Boeing lost a wheel during takeoff. Several cars were damaged after they were hit by the wheel. News and analysis at townhall.com. America's employers deliver another healthy month of hiring in February.
A surprising 275,000 jobs were added last month. That was up from a revised gain of 229,000 jobs in January. The unemployment rate ticked up 0.2 points to 3.9%. The Labor Department report reflected the job market's sustained ability to withstand the 11 rate hikes the Federal Reserve imposed to fight inflation, which made borrowing much costlier for households and businesses.
Correspondent Jeremy House. The Senate has approved a $460 billion package of spending bills in time to meet a midnight deadline for avoiding a shutdown of federal agencies. The vote gets lawmakers about halfway home and wrapping up their appropriations work for this budget year. The bill now goes to the president to be signed into law. And the president's hitting the campaign trail after his State of the Union speech. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops have come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Thanks for tuning in to the Matt Walsh Show. You've heard about quiet quitting, which is the new modern trend where employees essentially stop trying, but they remain on the job, attempting to sail by on minimal effort, doing the bare minimum. This was a movement pioneered by Gen Z with a big assist from millennials who are always eager to join any trend, especially one that involves being lazy. Of course, I say the movement was pioneered by Gen Z, but they in fact did not invent laziness, though they are the only generation maybe narcissistic enough to think that they did. No, they invented the phrase and the hashtag and the TikTok videos promoting it. And now the makers of Quiet Quitting are back with a new hit called hashtag Act Your Wage. This is another viral trend, which is essentially the same thing as Quiet Quitting, sort of taking the Marvel approach where the sequel is a carbon copy of the original. The Act Your Wage trend, which has taken off on TikTok, is apparently best explained by this viral video, which has millions of views from TikTok user Sarai Marie. Let's take a look.
Do you even know how to do your job? I don't understand what...
Hey, Veronica, I'm going to have you take this home and work on it tonight, okay? Respectfully, Susan, I'd rather spend time with my family. Veronica, did you just decline the Zoom meeting that's at 6:30 tonight? Oh, yeah, I did. I did do that. Yeah, because it's outside of my working hours, 9 to 5, so I won't be attending. All right, Veronica, I do need you to be available during your vacation, okay? Susan, you'll be blocked on my vacation because I won't be answering. Okay, Veronica, I'm going to need you to complete all of this today. Susan, do I look like two people to you?
No.
Oh, okay, just making sure because that looks like the work of two people, right? Right? And I'm one. I'm just one person, right? And it's time to go home, 5 o'clock. Hey, thank you, bye.
It would appear that acting your wage means being so grating and annoying and shrill that you end up sitting alone in an empty corner of the office because everybody else has jumped out the window. Now, if you're still confused about what this movement is supposed to be, the New York Post has more details. Quote, the video is tagged Act Your Wage, a hashtag that has amassed 37.6 million views and counting on TikTok. It's part of a movement among young workers to only do what they're paid for and no more, and to urge their coworkers to do the same. Proponents of Act Your Wage see it as setting a firm, healthy boundary in the workplace. Acting your wage might sound similar to quiet quitting, which became the biggest buzzword in the office as the summer came to an end, but there's a fine line between the two movements. Quote, motivation is the bridge between the two, but they're still two very different and separate constructs. Maisha Ann Martin, head of people analytics at the software company WorkHuman, told the Post, in short, quiet quitters are doing the bare minimum and trying to get away with it, while the act your wagers are doing exactly what they're paid to do, not more and not less. So, I mean, they're all just a bunch of lazy bastards. In other words, for a real-world example of this phenomenon, not that anyone needs a real-world example of laziness. I think we all kind of get it. But Insider has an article about acting your wage, and it tells the story of a 22-year-old cashier named Claire. And this is kind of important for a point we're going to make here. This is what it says. Claire is adamant about acting your wage. She's watched cycle after cycle of the store being fully staffed where workers feel they can have a life outside of the job, and then something happens to upset the balance, whether it's management changing workers' hours or a particularly demanding customer, and coworker after coworker walks out. Quote, if the job is something I can do and it's not taking from my life more than it gives, i.e. the money, then I can withstand fussy customers and strange management. I can brush all that off, she said. I do understand there are times when a job is just not worth it, though. For Claire, who makes about $13 an hour in Texas, the job is still worth it, but that's because she acts her wage. She does what she's expected to do, but doesn't take on more or stretch herself more than she needs to. It's another side of quiet quitting, and it's a practice that she thinks is especially important for Gen Z. Quote, I have control over when I show up and when I leave, she said. While I'm there, I'm going to try at least to do as I'm told, but I'm not going to do a 9-to-9. For Claire, acting her wage is all about keeping her identity separate from work and not feeling the need to go above and beyond. Yes, don't go above and beyond. That is indeed the timeless mantra of losers and mediocre nobodies everywhere. Now, we should first note here, as we did with the quiet quitting trend, that proponents of this approach do, in theory, make a couple of valid points. So it's true that you should have a life outside of work. It's also true that you need to know how to set boundaries, not just at work, but in general, so you don't get taken advantage of. But both of these potential positives are ultimately neutralized because, for one thing, there is no real value in ensuring that you have extra time outside of work if you aren't going to spend that extra time doing something enriching and worthwhile. So most of these people will just go home and scroll through TikTok. That's how they're spending their extra time. We heard in the video that Veronica wanted to spend more time with her family. But the problem is that these days, most people in their 20s don't have families. So by family, they really mean their couch, their phone, and their HBO Max subscription. And if you have to choose between putting some extra hours in at work and staring like a zombie at a glowing screen for 6 hours until you fall into a drooling stupor and eventually drift off to sleep, I think the former is often the better choice. Second, setting boundaries is important, but in the adult world, you need to know how to do that with a certain amount of tact and diplomacy. So the real trick is to be firm and clear and yet not obnoxious. But the problem, and in the video, what the video is recommending is that employees act like a bunch of spoiled toddlers, turning up the smarmy level to 100, screeching like overgrown bats, and acting offended that their boss would even ask them to do a little bit extra. That's what you have to understand, kids. You cannot talk to your boss that way. You might wish that you could, but you can't. So in the real world, where your boss comes up to you, no, I'm not doing that, Susan, get the hell out of here. This is not a movie. You can't talk to people that way. This might be how your parents may allow you to talk to them that way, and that's why you never learn the lesson. But in reality, you can't. That's a good way to get yourself fired in the real world. If you're only going to do the bare minimum, and on top of that, you're also unpleasant, disrespectful, and irritating, there's no reason for your employer to keep you around any longer than it takes to find some other warm body to sit in your chair. You have to always ask yourself that question. I know we don't want to ask ourselves this question because it's a difficult question to ask, but you know, at your job or whatever you're doing, it's like you have to ask yourself, what role am I really serving? Am I even needed? And if you've made yourself expendable, that's going to be a problem for you. And making yourself expendable, it's certainly one way to approach life. The other way to approach it is to strive to be indispensable, invaluable, undeniable. But that takes effort, and it takes talent. And here's an important point. It takes time. So it's quite notable that Gen Z, they're pushing, you know, these trends, apparently deciding that working hard, going above and beyond, running the extra mile, et cetera, is not worth the strain. The cost-benefit calculation doesn't work out in their favor, they say. Claire, you know, the cashier, she's arrived at this conclusion. And yet Claire is 22 years old. At the upper generational range, the oldest members of Gen Z would be like 25 or 26. How could you possibly have determined already in your mid-20s, after having been in the working world for a few years at most, that there's no point in putting in extra effort? I mean, you've decided already that the whole thing's a sucker's game? What, did you work one overtime shift and then decide that ambition is pointless? What did you expect? Did you think you'd put in 5 extra hours behind the cash register at the grocery store and the next day they'd make you CEO of Kroger's? Well, I spent one entire whole day trying hard and I haven't become a millionaire yet, so I give up. That's not the way the life works. Not everything follows the rules of instant gratification. You can't always get results in 60 seconds or less. The whole world is not a microwave. It doesn't work that way. Success comes slowly and painfully and with lots of peaks and valleys and frustrations and with stops and starts and with hardship. Now, speaking personally, I am now at a point in my career where I'm willing to say that I am having some success. I'm not done, not nearly, I'm not satisfied, not even close, but I've hit certain milestones that are important to me that I've been working towards. And that's a good thing. Do you know how long that took? Like a decade and a half. More than that, actually. And you're giving up after, what, 3 months? You're ready to quiet quit when you just quiet started last week? How fast do you think success comes? We said hard work pays off. We never said it pays off in 30 seconds. Life is not an ATM. You can't just press a button and the cash comes out. It takes longer, a lot longer, to get the payout. But here's the good news. If you're a younger person and you're just starting out in your career, the deck has been cleared. Okay, many of your peers are settling for mediocrity already. They haven't even tried yet, and they've decided there's no point in trying. They totaled their cars on the first speed bump they came across. They ran into a mild breeze and were knocked on their asses. And have no interest in getting up. This is an opportunity for you if you're not one of those people. As long as you have slightly more fortitude and a slightly better work ethic than all those other losers, you have an opportunity. You only need to be slightly more useful than a slug to set yourself apart. And then imagine if you went above and beyond even that. Imagine if you really tried. The stage is set for you to succeed. While your competition makes TikTok videos explaining why they aren't even trying. Let them be satisfied with a lackluster life filled with indifference and excuses. You show up early. You take the overtime. You take on the extra projects. You look to make your job more challenging, not easier. Let them be cynical about it and scoff about it. Oh, what are you even trying for? Let them do it. Because you're climbing the ladder while they're all crowding around the bottom rung, hoping someone pays off the rest of their student loans. One day, you'll be the boss, and you can gather together all of these low-effort lumps on a log and tell them all at once, as I tell them now, you're all canceled. We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blazengame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tiger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Experience for the first time glowing wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern display at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Open select dates March 29th through May 26, 2024. Year of the Dragon. Glowing Wild will feature 10 acres of botanical gardens filled with larger-than-life Asian lantern displays of animals from around the world, plus music, animation, food and drinks, and more. Don't miss Glowing Wild at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
1-5.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. I'm very excited about this daily cancellation. I finally get a chance to cancel Anne Hathaway. I've held a grudge against this woman ever since my wife, early in our marriage, forced me to go to the theater with her and with her mom and her sister to watch Les Miserables. It was the worst experience of my life. Every actor in the film was deeply and painfully annoying. None of them would stop singing at all. They sang the entire time from start to finish. Yet even amidst all of that, Anne Hathaway managed to be irritating and insufferable on a level that even Russell Crowe's blubbering off-key performance couldn't reach. A couple of years later, I went with much higher hopes to go see Interstellar. And there was Anne Hathaway again, helping to ruin the film with her cringy, saccharine speeches about the transcendent power of love. I wanted to see a movie about deep space exploration. I was hoping there'd be aliens. Instead, I got no aliens, only a little bit of space exploration, in exchange for a lot of scenes of Anne Hathaway and Jessica Chastain sulking and whining and giving corny sermons. So the only thing that would have made it worse is if they started singing, which thankfully they didn't. All that to say, this cancellation is a long time coming. Hathaway's appearance this week on The View has, I think, finally provided me the opportunity that I've been waiting for. Let's watch.
You know, The Devil Wears Prada did turn 16 this summer.
Yes.
The time flies, boy. So you wrote this on Instagram, quote, "I am struck by the fact that the young female characters in this movie built their lives and careers in a country that honored their right to have choice over their own reproductive health. See you in the fight." So why did you write that? Why was it important to you to write something like that?
Because we're in the fight.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We're in the fight every day. We're in the fight every minute. And you mentioned The Devil Wears Prada turning sweet 16.
Yeah.
Some 16-year-old's life has been irrevocably changed.
Yeah.
Because of the current overturning of Roe v. Wade. And in this character, I played a young woman who was starting out her career. And when you are a young woman starting out your career, your reproductive destiny matters a great deal.
Of course, yeah.
And I just... it had just happened, and I think about it all the time. I think we all think about it all the time. Yeah. And and what its implications are, and what it means to live in a country that puts us in this position.
Again.
And so if I were to play that role nowadays, I couldn't take that for granted. I couldn't take that freedom for granted, the freedom of choice. And by the way, this is not a moral conversation about abortion.
Right.
This is a practical conversation about women's rights. Mm. And by the way, human rights, because women's rights are human rights. And the freedom that we all need to be able to choose and build our lives and have access to excellent health care.
See, this is exactly what she did in Interstellar, just babbling incoherently. Of course, if you listen to any leftist when they talk about abortion or really any other subject at all that any of them do is babble incoherently. So let's try to sift through this. She says that it grieves her to consider that the young female characters in Devil Wears Prada would not be able to have abortions if the film was set in the current day. It is, to begin with, extremely strange to worry about the availability of abortion for fictional characters. Now, I've never seen The Devil Wears Prada, but I'm pretty sure that the film is largely set in New York. Women in New York can still get abortions, unless they don't exist, because they're fictional, which is a logistical problem that will prevent them from doing a lot of things, including getting abortions. Also, again, not having seen it, my impression is that the movie has a rather dim view of selfish, career-obsessed people. That's like the Devil Wears Prada. So part of the moral of the story, from what I understand, is that there's more to life than professional ambition. Yet Hathaway's takeaway is that women need to be able to kill their children so they can focus more on career advancement. There seems to be a little bit of a disconnect here. She also speaks about reproductive destiny, which of course is exactly the sort of asinine, hackneyed phrase you would expect Anne Hathaway to use when discussing abortion. It's not the sort of wording that I would ever choose, but since she brought it up, let us ask this question. Reproductive destiny. Okay, well, once a woman has conceived a child, what is her reproductive destiny? The word destiny implies a force outside of the individual, a message, a mission from beyond ourselves. So what is this force? Call it nature, call it the universe, call it, as I do, God. What is this force trying to say to the woman? What is her destiny now that she has conceived the child in her womb? Is it her destiny to partake in the joy and beauty and fulfillment of motherhood? Or is it her destiny to pay some abortionist to kill her baby and throw his body into a medical waste dumpster? I would say the former. Indeed, how could it be anyone's reproductive destiny to reject their reproductive capacity and violently destroy the human life that they have reproduced? To call such a choice reproductive destiny seems bizarre, to say the least. Hathaway also claims that she's not interested in having a moral conversation about abortion, but rather a practical conversation about women's rights. Well, except that a conversation about rights is automatically a conversation about morality. You cannot extract the concept of morality from the concept of human rights. A practical conversation, a real practical conversation, is one that is not concerned with theories or ideas at all. But human rights are a theory. They are an idea. They're a moral idea. That isn't to say they don't exist, but rather that they exist in the moral realm. They don't exist physically, practically, like a chair or a rock or the ocean exists. So to say that you don't want to talk about morality, you just want to talk about human rights, that is to speak gibberish. Human rights are a moral concept. The minute you bring them up, you have entered into the moral realm. But that's not where Anne Hathaway wants to be, because she knows that she can't actually defend abortion on moral grounds. None of these people can. And that's the issue. But she had more to say, and it only gets dumber from here, so let's continue.
Another thing, and just without going into too many details, my own personal experience with abortion, and I don't think we talk about this enough, abortion can be another word for mercy. We don't know. We don't know. It's not a world in which we know that no two pregnancies are alike, and it follows that no two lives are alike. That follows that no two conceptions are alike.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So how can we have a law? How can we have a point of view on this that says we must treat everything the same? And where I come at it from is when you allow for choice, you allow for flexibility, which is what we need in order to be human. So that, anyway, I just wanted to include
that part.
Especially for that. It's not set in stone. Just because you get pregnant doesn't mean you get to keep that baby.
Yeah, it's a health decision.
And it can be.
It's
it really can be.
Yeah.
Right. Abortion is another word for mercy, she says. But mercy for whom? Mercy for the child who's being killed? That's not mercy. The child has an entire life ahead of him. Or he should. You're taking that away. You're deciding for him that his life is not worth living. You're erasing all of his potential. All that could have been. And you're not giving him a choice in the matter. There's no mercy in that. It's the opposite of mercy because it's the opposite of empathy. And you can't have mercy without empathy. Or do you mean that it's merciful to the woman? Are you saying that killing a child is an act of mercy to the child's mother? Well, no, mercy to the mother is to help her, to give her the resources she needs. Mercy is what pregnancy centers provide. Mercy is their ministry. It's what they do. Abortion clinics, on the other hand, are vultures. They prey on fear and misery. They cash in on it. They feed off of it. They profit off of it. They sell guilt. They sell regret. They sell loneliness while taking away the love and joy of motherhood. That's not mercy. It's mercenary. So whichever way Hathaway meant it, she's wrong. Though I'm not sure she knows how she meant it because she's just babbling, which is what most defenses of abortion boil down to. Incoherent babble. And that is why Anne Hathaway is today, finally, after all these years, canceled. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Riverfront Playhouse presents Five Women Wearing the Same Dress, written by Alan Ball, directed by Erin Haney Stewart. Five Women Wearing the Same Dress is a comedic exploration of love and friendship as five diverse bridesmaids find solace in a bedroom during a wedding reception, revealing the complexities of their relationship. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the store reading and at the door. Five Women Wearing the Same Dress, March 8th through 24th at the Riverfront Playhouse. Sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
25.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. We head down to Columbia County in Florida, speaking of Florida, where the sheriff has issued a public apology after body camera footage of a recent arrest made by two of his deputies went viral. James Hodges, a 61-year-old man from Lake City, was arrested at the end of last month, charged with resisting arrest. Of course, you know, anytime somebody is arrested for resisting arrest, your first question is, why were they being arrested in the first place? Because in order to resist arrest, the arrest must first be initiated for some reason other than resisting it, since there is no arrest to resist until the arrest is already being made, or at least you might think. Though, as we know, very often in cases where there is viral outrage over police body cam footage, the clip, you know, that has gone viral, it's very often taken out of context. It's clipped, sometimes edited to make the police officers look as bad as possible. Very often, there is more to the story. Very often, the police get a bad rap based on their response to a highly tense and volatile situation that they did not create. Very often. But as you can see from the footage in this case, this is not one of those times. Watch.
Hi there. What's this in your back pocket? I just saw you walking it.
Navigational aids. What's the problem? You a tyrant?
Yeah, I am, actually. What's your name and date of birth?
I don't have to give that unless
yes, sir. I was investigating.
You have reasonable.
Do you want me to put you in handcuffs right now? Yes, sir, I do.
What is your suspicion?
It looks like you're carrying a gun in your back pocket. I'm stopping to make sure you're carrying it properly. You don't
have you
to...
ensured that it's not a firearm?
No, you keep turning so I can't see it. You don't have to be a d- to me.
Well, you're being one to me.
No, sir. I'm doing my job.
Am I detained?
Yeah, you are. What's your name and date of birth?
It does not matter.
Yes, sir, it does.
Do you have a crime?
Would you like me to
put you in? Call your supervisor, please.
He's right here.
All right.
Don't, you know.
Where would you stop you for? For a walking stick.
So,
and it could look like a weapon. She asked you to
really
present it, okay?
Now she's asking me for ID. I don't need the ID unless there's a reasonable, articulated suspicion that I have committed a crime and committing a crime or about to do a crime.
Sir, and her suspicion was that you were armed, okay? And she's asking you for your ID.
Well, now she has verified that I am not armed,
okay?
So there is no problem.
You got
problem.
Your ID or not?
I do have my ID, okay. But you don't need it,
okay? Okay.
So from there, he's arrested, taken to jail. Hodges, the suspect, quote unquote, in the video, is legally blind. You know, it turns out that, as he explained, he left early that morning to walk to jury duty, but then found out that it was canceled. And so he proceeded to turn around and walk home, at which point he was stopped by the female deputy. He thought that his walking stick was a gun. Now, Yes, the stick was folded up in his back pocket, which is not a crime, last I checked. But also, even folded that way, I'm not sure how it could be mistaken for a firearm. Has the female officer ever seen a firearm before? Doesn't she wear one every day? What sort of gun did she think he had? But that's all irrelevant anyway. Whatever led her to suspect that a walking stick was a firearm, the point is that, and by the way, carrying a firearm in Florida is, provides you have all the licenses and everything and that you need, that's not a crime either. But the point is that the man, 30 seconds into the interaction, produced the walking stick, showed it to be a walking stick, thereby confirming that no crime had been committed. Everything was fine. He was just a guy walking. The officer could have ended the conversation at that point, wished the man a pleasant morning, and then went about her day. That's it. That's it. There's no reason to continue this. But her pride was wounded by his lack of respect and deference, and so she cuffed him and sent him to jail. It may not appear on the police report, but that is the crime that Hodges committed. He wounded a police officer's pride. He also embarrassed her by failing to have a firearm. He is guilty of inflicting embarrassment and humiliation in the first degree, and that earned him a trip to the county lockup. Now, of course, some people have attempted to put the blame on Hodges here, insisting that he ought to have just complied and done as he was told. But he did comply as much as necessary to prove that he hadn't committed any sort of crime. He had no responsibility beyond that. The relationship between police officer and citizen is not supposed to be like the relationship between parent and child or king and subject. This is America. We don't have a duty to do exactly as we're told, no matter what, regardless of the situation. Because I said so is not valid reasoning coming from a police officer when you're not a suspect in a crime. And police officers are not empowered to punish us simply because we're being disrespectful. Which I don't think he was. I mean, she was the one who called him a dick to begin with. She was disrespectful to him. So what, he has to just endure that and take that, and if he responds in kind, even though he's not a suspect in any crime, they can put him in jail? I'll have more to say on this in just a minute after a word from our sponsor.
We are happy to announce a new product, Jeremy's Razors for Women. Ladies, get a great smooth shave and enjoy knowing that your hard-earned money is going to a company that celebrates and supports women being women. Get yours today at jeremysrazors.com.
You know, in an allegedly free country where officials carry the title of public servant, it is at least just as much their responsibility to show respect to us as it is ours to show respect to them. That's the way this is supposed to work, anyway. So will there be consequences for the officers in this case? NBC News has the report, quote, two deputies will be suspended and a Florida sheriff has apologized after a visually impaired man was arrested last month when his walking cane was mistaken for a gun. The deputies faced suspension without pay and Harrison was demoted after an investigation was launched when Hodges requested body cam footage of the arrest. Hunter said, quote, as sheriff, I take full responsibility for this event. I want to extend my sincere apologies to Mr. Hodges for the actions of my deputies. I do not feel these deputies' actions were guided by ill intent, but rather by frustration and failure to rely on their training. Nevertheless, this conduct is unacceptable. Hunter said the investigation showed the deputies violated policies. Harrison faced a suspension of 7 days without pay. He will not be eligible for any favorable action for 2 years, Hunter said. Goad, who's the female officer, faces suspension without pay for 2 days. They'll be required to take remedial training about civil rights, Hunter said. Remedial civil rights training? These officers need remedial civil rights training, and yet they still have a job? Isn't that like taking an airline pilot out of the cockpit for 2 weeks in order to give him remedial training on how to land a plane? Isn't the fact that such a training is necessary proof in itself that they shouldn't be on the job in the first place? Yes, police officers are often unfairly blamed and scapegoated. I'll be the first to come to their defense when that happens. You know that. But that problem is only exacerbated by the fact that, first of all, the hiring and retention standards in most police departments are far too low. Cops who don't possess even the basic skills necessary to do the job are on the job anyway and kept there. That female deputy is bumbling, nervous, on edge, undisciplined. Now, again, in many of these videos, when you're looking at a really hot, volatile situation, you've got someone who's violently resisting, you know, sort of a violent criminal, and then you watch it and you watch a 30-second or even 2-minute clip or whatever, and you come to all these conclusions about the police officers. A lot of times it's unfair because they're in that position, you know, and it's like it's really easy to Monday morning quarterback. But in this case, this is a low stakes situation. There's nothing going on here. Everything's fine. And yet that's still how she comes across? She has no business wearing a badge, and yet she wears one. This is partly due to diversity quotas, but and those are, of course, the bane of nearly every institution in American life, and it's partly due to recruitment problems and staffing shortages. Police departments are desperate for warm bodies to fill those roles, and that desperation is becoming increasingly evident. But second, there is simply not enough accountability. You know, for the sake of restoring public trust in our most important institutions, like law enforcement, you have to make an example out of those who abuse their power or who fail to fulfill their most basic obligations. Both cops involved here, rather than being temporarily suspended, should be at a minimum fired. You can make an argument for arresting them and charging them with false imprisonment, abuse of power, among other crimes. When you have a clear-cut case of tyrannical and abusive behavior by a police officer, I mean, she literally says, yes, I'm a tyrant. He says, are you a tyrant? She says, yeah, okay, well, and then she acts tyrannically. Clear cut. I mean, there's nothing to talk about here. So for the sake of justice, for the sake of clinging on to whatever faith the public might still have in the institution, you got to come down hard. Make an example. Okay, this is not one of those things where, again, a police officer is being unfairly targeted based on out-of-context footage, and then the public demands that we make that they be offered up as a sacrificial goat. That's not this. In this case, when she actually has done something horribly wrong, yeah, make an example of her. Offer her up, for sure. But too often the wagons are circled, and the offenders get off with a slap on the wrist, if that. I mean, were any of those police officers who stood outside the room for an hour while children were being executed in Uvalde, were any of them ever fired, let alone arrested? No, I don't think so, and the answer is far too often no. Accountability is not just a buzzword. It's the only way forward. It's the only way to avoid a complete collapse in the public's trust and faith in our essential institutions. And the only way to avoid the chaos that follows from that. And so that is why we must say that not only are these officers, but the sheriff as well, are failing to do what's necessary. All of them today are canceled. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
At Jeremy's Razors, we're all about letting men be men and women be women. That's why we're introducing our brand new women's razors. Two genders, two razors, it's that simple. Get yours today at jeremysrazors.com.
We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own
own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
The National Wild Turkey Federation's 25th Annual Redding Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is Saturday, March 9th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. To purchase tickets for the event, or if you would like more information, contact Candy Muse at 530-526-8350. That's 530-526-8350. Or online at nwtf.org/event. Sponsored by Johnny Morris Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, Benelli, Voigt Harness Company, La Crosse, Sportsman's Guide, and Tacticam
Association.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. We turn our attention to an article from one of our local outlets here in Tennessee called The Tennessean. In a recent piece, The Tennessean extends an invitation to us that none of us asked for or wanted. Headline is, Meet Nashville's Trans Queer Latinx Neurodivergent Theologian. Now, you'll notice already that this headline is nominally 6 words long, and yet after the second word, Nashville, it takes a 3-word detour into utter gibberish and doesn't return to reality and words that exist in the dictionary until the end with the word theologian. Everything in between is abject nonsense. This gives you an idea as to what to expect as we venture into the text of the article itself. It begins, Robin Henderson Espinoza is the only Nashville-based trans, queer, Latinx, neurodivergent public theologian that they know. Wait, that who knows? That they know? Sounds like there's a sentence cut off here, or maybe the author of this piece had a stroke while they were typing. But it turns out that, of course, the they refers to Robin Henderson Espinoza, who, despite having 3 names, is only one person, but still goes by they anyway. And it continues, I don't know anybody like me, Henderson Espinoza, who uses gender-neutral pronouns, said in an interview. Yet it was only recently when Henderson Espinoza, 45, got to know their better self, or rather, got to know their self better. Got to know their self better. Okay. Such is the diagnosis that they are on the autism spectrum. Amid this eventful period in their life, Henderson Espinoza also made time to write reflections about their personal experience and its connection to larger socio-political events, which they turned into a book. Henderson Espinoza's new book, Body Becoming, A Path to Our Liberation, released on Tuesday. Somehow I don't feel a threat from that book to Johnny the Walrus. I don't think that I have to worry about that making it into the top 10. I must again, though, point out here that the correct gender-neutral pronoun for an individual entity is it. So if you're really neither male nor female, and yet you're a single person, then you are an it. But Robin, just like every other supposed gender-neutral person, doesn't want to use it because that sounds dehumanizing, which it is. But rejecting the binary of female and male is by its nature dehumanizing, as you are rejecting the very human nature which declares that there are only males and females. These people want to have their dehumanized cake and eat it too. Robin says that she, and I think this is a female, but I'm taking a bit of a shot in the dark here. She is, unlike anyone she knows, incredibly unique. I don't know anybody like me. Now, that's obviously the point of all this. The accumulation of meaningless identity labels is a narcissistic attempt to present yourself as more complex, more interesting, deeper, more profound than the average person. And yet it has precisely the opposite effect. But she's not done claiming labels. It continues, Henderson Espinoza, an ordained Baptist minister who has a PhD in philosophy, knew for many years that they were transgender, but didn't explore what that meant to them until 2017 when they moved to Nashville from California, Henderson Espinoza found a Vanderbilt physician who was overseeing Henderson Espinoza's hormone therapy. Then in 2018, Henderson Espinoza learned that they're on the autism spectrum. It never occurred to me that my brain worked differently, Henderson Espinoza wrote in their new book. I realized that my socialization in the church and academy had been through neuronormative people who didn't understand my body or my mind and had curated such a disconnection from my body. Wait, if you don't identify as either male or female, then what are the hormones supposed to achieve exactly? Meanwhile, Robin, addicted to the self-satisfied high she got from accruing the labels trans, non-binary, Latinx, decided to go back for another hit, adding neurodivergent to the list. As has happened with so many other things, the category of mental illness has now been fully subsumed by the LGBT alphabet crew. This is why LGBT activists will so often list their mental health conditions as if the conditions themselves are sexual identities. And like sexual identities, mental illness has been made into something trendy, you know, desirable, another way to set yourself apart. I'll have more to say on this in just a minute after a word from our sponsor.
We are happy to announce a new product, Jeremy's Razors for Women. Ladies, get a great smooth shave and enjoy knowing that your hard-earned money is going to a company that celebrates and supports women being women. Get yours today at jeremysrazors.com.
The made-up term neuronormative has the same scoffing tone and dismissive ring to it as the made-up term cisgender. And that's the other thing about all of the obsessive labeling that leftists do to themselves. While labeling themselves, they also put labels on the rest of us that we did not choose or agree to or consent to. Cisgender is not a term that any so-called cisgender person chooses for themselves. It's a label that trans activists place on us. Now, God forbid we label them in a way they don't like, but, you know, they can label us all they want. Those are the rules they want us to play by anyway, but I refuse. Also note in that last segment, again, the sheer volume of absolute certifiable nonsense, especially the last sentence. I realized that my socialization in the church and academy had been through neuronormative people who didn't understand my body or my mind and had curated such a disconnection from my body. Curated a disconnection from your body? How is a disconnection curated? How can someone else curate your own disconnection, whatever that means? What in the hell are you babbling about? Well, Robin does quite a lot of babbling, it turns out. This is common of leftists generally, but especially those who identify themselves as pastors and theologians. Those two labels, as it happens, are the most absurd of all the titles Robin gives to herself, as evidenced by this clip of Robin Henderson Espinoza, originally posted to Twitter by a group called Q Christian Fellowship, which says in its bio that its mission is to cultivate radical belonging for LGBTQ plus people, and it achieves this, apparently, through incoherent prattle like this. Listen.
The not yet is the imaginal space of becoming. The not yet is in the space of a realized utopia. The not yet is the Christian message that we must embody in critical and creative ways to steward a narrative that calls us into being human with one another again. That is the kind of hope I want to invite us to embody. That is the kind of queerness that I hope we can practice. One that reimagines language and practice and narratives that can be midwifed and stewarded through the imaginal. That is hope to me. That is the kind of power I think we have as a collective of believers, of doubters, of Christians, as those who are becoming.
So this is like the leftist version of speaking in tongues, because no part of what you just heard qualifies as English. Neither does it qualify as Christian. I mean, it is religious, no question, but this is not the Christian religion you're hearing there. Just to quote one section of it, she says, "That is the kind of queerness that I hope we can practice, one that reimagines language and practice and narratives that can be midwifed and stewarded through the imaginal." Oh, okay. Now, if you listen to that and you hear all the big words and think, well, maybe I'm just too stupid to understand what she's saying, then you're having exactly the reaction that people who speak this way want you to have. And you're also wrong. You are not too stupid. Your failure to understand gibberish is not a shortcoming on your part. This is just how smug leftist academics speak, because for one thing, they would rather dazzle you with their faux intelligence than actually communicate like normal human beings. They don't want to be understood. They want to be admired. When it comes to leftist ideas in particular, this is especially the case. They hide behind this impenetrable fortress of scholarly-sounding bull because, along with wanting to impress you with what it usually turns out to be a pretty middling intellect, they also want to disguise their true meaning, such as there actually is any true meaning at all. Whatever they're trying to say, if they're trying to say anything, they prefer to keep it safe, locked inside a box of gibberish and buzzwords. The hope is that you'll just nod confusedly and go along with whatever it is they want you to do or whatever direction they want to take you. They want you to scratch your head and shrug your shoulders and say, okay, sure, let's be stewarded to the imaginal space of queerness. Sounds good. What they don't want you to do is stop and say, wait a second, what exactly are you trying to say? Can you speak like somebody who isn't suffering from a severe concussion and just put it in plain English for me? They don't want that because if there is any meaning underneath all this nonsense, it's something quite horrifying. Something that they clearly don't want you to see or understand. And that is why, finally, Robin, the NeuroLatinx transbinary divergent theologian, is today canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The Senate approves a $460 billion package of spending bills.
The measure has already passed the House. It now goes to President Biden to be signed into law. Lawmakers have been negotiating a second package of six bills, including defense, in an attempt to have all federal agencies fully funded by the March 22nd deadline.
Correspondent Mike Hempen. President Biden says he would sign a bill that would ban TikTok in the U.S., saying, if they pass it, I'll sign it. The bill would make TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, divest from the app or face a ban in America. U.S. Capitol Police say they arrested a Gold Star father for yelling at the president during the State of the Union address Thursday night. The man's son was a Marine killed during the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021. A United Airlines plane rolled off a runway in Houston and ended up stuck in a grassy area after its landing gear failed Friday. United Airlines says no injuries were reported among the 160 passengers and six crew members aboard Flight 2477 to Houston from Memphis. Pentagon Press Secretary Major General Pat Ryder says the department's all-domain anomaly resolution office has found no sign of alien life.
Arrow has found no verifiable evidence for claims that the U.S. government or private companies have access to or have been reverse engineering extraterrestrial technology. Arrow has found no evidence that any U.S. government investigation, academic-sponsored research, or official review panel has confirmed that any sighting of a UAP represented extraterrestrial technology.
Talking about UFOs. The study analyzed U.S. government investigations since 1945 of reported sightings of unidentified flying objects. More at townhall.com.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
The paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than $1 a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
America's employers delivered another healthy month of hiring in February. They added a surprising 275,000 jobs, while again showcasing the U.S. economy's resilience in the face of high interest rates. Heritage Foundation research fellow Joel Griffith tells Salem Radio Network the report ignores a more telling figure.
The number of people employed dropped to the lowest level since May 2023. So we have to ask ourselves, well, how do you reconcile this? Both things are true. We had an increase in the number of jobs. But guess what? We lost full-time jobs.
General Motors will be selling the all-electric version of the Chevrolet Blazer again at a lower price. Sales resume Friday after a two-month stop in sales to fix software issues. The cost of the vehicle will be several thousand dollars less this go-round. The automaker is adding an entry-level model that starts under $50,000. News and analysis at townhall.com. An interesting study during the eclipse next month.
Researchers will observe how animals' routines at several zoos are disrupted during the April 8 total solar eclipse. The moon shadow will sweep across North America from Texas to Maine. In 2017, a team noticed strange animal behavior at a South Carolina zoo in the path of total darkness. This time, scientists will stand by to track how tortoises, giraffes, and apes at the Fort Worth Zoo in Texas react when day transforms into dusk. John Scott reporting.
Travis County is the latest central Texas county to declare a disaster ahead of the next month's total solar eclipse. Officials in Austin say the declaration will help them deal with the large crowds, heavy traffic, and strains on first responders. As stated earlier, the eclipse will happen on April 8th. And the Texas Hill Country will be one of the prime viewing locations in the U.S. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, exhibitor demonstrations. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $8 admission, 6 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday we honor our veterans with our free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Elwood Ranch, Pedigo Reading, Bridgeford, Garage Force, Crown Motors, and California Customs. See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record-high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, "Our customers are warm friends." We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hello, Northern California. This is Roland from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory, and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center, since 1982. American flags, American made.
Your vacation is over, but the worst part, the long drive home from Sacramento.
unless you chose to fly from Reading. At Reading Regional Airport, your takeoff and landing are close to home, with quick check-ins and non-stop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. You can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. Next time, skip the drive to and from Sacramento. Fly with ease and convenience from Reading Regional Airport.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Reading's premier licensed legacy cultivator, exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
It's the United States Capitol because he was the Democrat president of the Confederate States of America. But I was waiting for Joe Biden to announce that he'd ordered the South Carolina militia to take Fort Sumter again, because it was a very belligerent speech. Belligerent means warlike. It was a very warlike speech, a very hostile speech, and by a nasty, mean-spirited, squinty-faced, plastic surgery, hair plugs, old man with a bad memory, and remarkable stuff. And the news media loved it because they are a donkey show. But never mind that. A fervent Biden takes on Trump, GOP. The next headline from the Washington Post, President confronts age concerns in feisty speech. You know, when someone's calling you feisty, that means you're really old. That's what that means. Oh, he's so feisty. Yeah. Oh, he's spry. I'm surprised the word spry isn't in the headline here. Pretty amazing. While stumbling at times, he casts his long experience as an asset. Yeah, sure. It's a, well, yeah, then, you know, I guess there are a lot of other people with long experience in that room last night. Maybe we should get them, and they could be president because, you know, I'm all for appreciating experience. I definitely am. Decades of experience typically is a good thing. In his case, you know, he's been wrong about everything for decades. So, and now he's more wrong than ever. But now he's demented and hostile and angry. He's the angry man. I had several text threads going simultaneously last night, as you might imagine, with lots of people, including our internal text thread with Michael Piercy and Randy and Kevin and back and forth on a lot of what was going on there, and multiple other text threads with all kinds of people. Lots of fun. Now, one of his big ideas, which is demented, is that he announced that he's going to build a port for terror, because Hamas, he says, needs a port, and U.S. troops will go into Hamas territory in the Gaza. They have more than 25 miles of beautiful Mediterranean seafront property, of course, which they've turned into a killing field because they're savages. But never mind that. Joe Biden says, yeah, the U.S. troops are going to go in, and we're going to build a port for the terrorist organization known as Hamas, backed by Iran, which is, of course, backed by Joe Biden and Barack Obama and the left with the red-green coalition. They love death more than we love life. Yeah, but this insanity to build a port in Gaza in order to get aid in there. Now, what happens when the troglodytes come up and shoot everybody up and steal all the aid? Then the U.S. troops shoot them to stop them? Or do they just let the terrorist army of Hamas steal all of the so-called aid going into the so-called port? This is one of the dumbest ideas ever by a president of the United States. It's not often you see people this dumb in a position of authority anywhere. I mean, honestly, smarter people run tire stores all over America. Much smarter people. Have to be more serious. Emergency mission won't require American troops on the ground in Strip, administration says. Really? So they build a port without touching land? That'll be a good magic trick. I look forward to seeing that. We are an amazing country. See, a port is the one end of it is on the ground, and then the other end is in the water. See? See how that works? It's a port. And then the ships come in, the aid ships, because, you know, I was going back and forth with a couple of friends yesterday, old Pentagon friends. And so I assume that soon he'll be announcing that we're going to build an airport for ISIS. Because if you're building a port for Hamas, why not an airport for ISIS? Maybe ISIS needs an airport because they got to kill people and terrorize. And Joe Biden and the left, they're here to help. The Red-Green Coalition. You know, the commies, the red, the Islamists, the green, the Red-Green Coalition like Munich 1972 with the Palestinians that butchered the Israeli team there. And they demanded the release of the leaders of the radical left-wing Red Brigades outfit, the Bader-Meinhof gang, when they killed the Israeli athletes there. The Red-Green Coalition goes back a long way. And it's alive and well because the Democrat Party. Also, there were violent mobs of people that call themselves liberals outside of the Capitol last night. They're pro-Hamas, and they're demanding that Joe Biden help radical Islam kill the Jews. And Joe Biden said, good idea. That's exactly what I'm going to do. From the river to the sea is the Biden campaign's new slogan, because they got to wipe the Jews off the map. Because they're a little concerned about the Islamist vote in Michigan and in Minnesota. Michigan is an important swing state, so you got to win the jihad vote. You got to win the kill the Jews vote. The Democrats do, and they're all in. Because he doesn't have the courage to stand up and say, no, Israel is our ally and Hamas is not, to the Muslim voters in Michigan and Minnesota that are voting present or whatever they're voting. Because they hate the Jews. That's the thing. They're making, you know, Nazism fashionable again, these guys. Anti-Semitism has gone mainstream, and the Democrat Party is leading the charge. And there were mobs of them outside last night, and they started at the federal courthouse, the E. Barrett Prettyman federal courthouse, where we try many of our favorite government officials over the years. And they went to the National Gallery of Art, and they were projecting their propaganda on the side of the National Gallery of Art. And then they were chanting and screaming and going wild outside of the Capitol. Kill the Jews! Kill the Jews! It's a little hard to understand because it's in German. Biden, Biden, you can't hide. We charge you with genocide. The motorcade had to change the route that it was going to take because the left was out there chanting, kill the Jews. It's remarkable. And support Hamas. And Joe Biden is supporting Hamas. He's going to build a port for Hamas, maybe an airport for ISIS. This is our, you know, he likes to talk about infrastructure all the time. I still have yet to see an infrastructure project in the United States. Have you seen an infrastructure? Oh, look at the roads. Yeah, we never fixed the roads in the United States before Joe Biden came along. Where's the airport? Where's the seaport in the United States? We're building seaports for Hamas in Gaza, which is going to be a bloodbath because only a moron would come up with this idiotic idea and then say, you know what? That idiotic idea is perfect for us. Let's build a port for Hamas. And that's what they're doing. Pretty amazing stuff. He was also attacking Republicans. I texted the words civil war repeatedly last night because he sounded like it was a rallying cry against it was, again, accusing Republicans of being like the Soviet Union. And you know, you guys have been sucking up to the Soviet Union. You were sucking up to the Soviet Union before Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush collapsed it. But never mind that. Putin's still angry about that. These guys, they are not on our side. They are not on our side. So we got some Joe Biden from last night, and he's not bright. And afterward, Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio had some... You know, like, I've been to a bunch of these State of the Union addresses, and I've never seen anything as vile, vulgar, hostile as this, as belligerent as this. Remember, the Democrat Party got us into the first Civil War in the United States of America, and now they've got this sock puppet moron out here. Boy, the Democrats are not, you just can't get along with them. As Hillary Clinton said, there is only the fight. But they did put up a fence around a 14-foot high fence, which wouldn't work along our southern border. But it works around the Capitol when the Democrats snap their fascist little fingers. They should have called out the National Guard like Kathy Hochul has in New York. You see the camouflage uniformed men in the subways in New York with their M16 rifles, their M4 rifles. It looks like a combat zone in New York City because the Democrats are so fond of crime and criminals that the Democrats had to call out the National Guard. Remember when Senator Tom Cotton of Harvard Law School and the United States Army and the United States Senate wrote an article that the New York Times published and then got rid of the guy that allowed it to be published. Tom Cotton said, hey, send in the troops, when the Democrats were burning Seattle and Portland and Chicago and Minneapolis and where else, Michael? Bring out the law. I got a binders full of them, honestly. And they got rid of the guy that allowed, and now they're calling out the troops. They're calling out the National Guard because Democrats are such a gang of criminals and waving Venezuelan gangs into the country and stuff. But they put this wall up around the giant fence, 14 feet high, around the Capitol, just because Joe Biden was going to be there. And he was, 20 minutes late. And then by the time he got there to the podium, he was 30 minutes late. And he thinks it's all fun and gangs. It is all fun and gangs because the Venezuelan gangs, what were they so afraid of that they build a fence around the Capitol? Maybe they were concerned that 20,000 Chinese military age men that have walked into the country were going to storm the Capitol and take it over. There would be an insurrection. What do you think could have been? Might be worried about the Chinese gangs or maybe the Venezuelan gangs because, I am telling you, you're a Democrat Party. Out of their minds. And he was out of his mind last night. He's an unwell man, not a good man. But the Democrat Party is perfectly represented by him. Very severely brain damaged, completely over the hill. Antique relics from the 20th century still advancing the cause of the Soviet Union and Communist China and the left. The Democrat Party is perfectly represented by Joe Biden. Honestly, intellectually broken, emotionally broken, completely over the hill. The Democrat Party, they're the left. They're not liberals. They're the left. You know that. And they want to destroy the United States of America just like the Soviet Union and the commies did in the 20th century. But now they're here and they've got the Democrat Party and the media and education. You know, that's an invading army would take over the same institutions. By the way, we got to stop funding National Panhandler Radio. The Republicans really need to step. Mike Johnson needs to step up on this one. Mike Johnson, I thought he was pretty good last night. I liked him. I'm leaning toward giving him a lot of slack, although he had something to be condemned for yesterday, and I condemned him, that idiotic funding bill. But he was pretty good last night. His first State of the Union. And Kamala sat there. She was very excited, clapping her hand with her eyes wide open and her mouth hanging out like she was at a birthday party for children flown in from California after being given acting lessons. You can see the craters on the moon with your own eyes. The idiocracy is here. And we are at 888-630-9625. And previous Democrat presidents on illegal border crossings. I've got that for you as well. Joe Biden barely got to the border. I think it was more than 40 minutes into his rambling, crazy old man speech that he finally got to the border. But we're going to protect Ukraine's border and Gaza's border, but not our border. Maybe we'd use a port here. No. That money's going to Hamas. It was really something. A lot to say about it. And there's more, too. Oregon is run by morons as well. I've got that story. They're just crazy. 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Hey, it's Chris Plant. Let's talk about something that's on the minds of a lot of our listeners, dealing with overwhelming credit card debt. If you're facing $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or other unsecured debt, there are programs available that can help you consolidate those debts into one single reduced monthly payment you can afford, if you qualify. Accredited Debt Relief. They're on a mission to help you become debt-free in just 24 to 48 months. They've already helped more than 300,000 qualified customers, hardworking Americans just like you, pay off more than $1 billion in debt, earning them an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. So call Accredited Debt Relief now for your free, no-obligation savings estimate. Let them help you take control of your financial destiny. Call 800-820-3131. 800-820-3131. That's 800-820-3131. Program and services not available in all states.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs, like the XPS 13 Plus, powered by Intel Core processors, and more. Plus, curate your dream setup with great deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to leading-edge technology and free shipping on everything. Again, that's Dell.com/deals.
Imagine it's the last ride, but your symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, are taking you for a ride. What should you do? Keep managing your constipation with belly pain the same old way? Or try getting ahead of your symptoms by talking to your doctor about treating it with Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join the V Foundation team. 100% of donations fund game-changing cancer research. Donate now at V.org.
Advertisement sponsored by Allied Injury Group, not available in all states. This important message from Allied Injury Group reminds you that if you or someone you love was injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, you deserve financial compensation for your medical expenses, lost wages, pain, and suffering. Don't rely on insurance companies to look out for you. If you haven't spoken to an attorney, call our legal experts now. Work accident, truck accident, collision with an uninsured driver, or a slip and fall. Allied Injury Group has helped clients win hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. They're available 24/7 to take your call and fight for you. Remember, if you or someone you love suffered injuries in an accident that wasn't your fault, like being struck by a drunk driver, a collision with an 18-wheeler, were a victim of workplace negligence or more, get the financial compensation you deserve. Call Allied Injury Group for a free consultation now.
Call 800-781-1815. That's 800-781-1815. Again, 800-781-1815.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtBlue is here for you. With DebtBlue's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtBlue are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Okay. Great many Democrat crazy bits to get to today. And Joe Biden's crazy old man speech last night. Angry old fart. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Beth calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Beth, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi.
Hi, Beth.
Yeah, we were watching the speech last night because there was nothing more amusing on. And we heard him say the threat to democracy needs to be defended. And I was like, what? What did he just say? And we rewound it back to play it again. And sure enough, that's exactly what he said.
So he recognizes there's a threat to our democracy, to our republic, and he believes that that threat must be defended, like it's Hamas or something.
Right.
Here he is. We actually have that, Beth, and saw your name on the big board. Listen, here's Joe Biden last night.
The threat to democracy must be defended.
There it is, Beth. You nailed it. The threat to democracy must be defended. Why do you think he thinks the threat to democracy must be defended?
I'm sorry?
Why do you think he thinks the threat to democracy must be defended?
I have no clue. I think he's just off his rocker.
I went to the transcript from the Associated Press, and the transcript in the Associated Press is rewritten Soviet style. But we must be honest, the threat remains and democracy must be defended, the transcript says. That's what the transcript says. Because, you know, in Soviet times, which we're in now, they just rewrite the transcript to make it whatever they wanted it to be, not what it actually was. Because, Beth, the media lies to us as much as the Democrats. You know why?
No.
They're all Democrats. That's why. The transcript has been corrupted, and Joe Biden's brain, she's a broke.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hi friends, RC here, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, the Diesel Vintage. A smooth burn, a perfect draw, and flavor for days. This is what an expertly crafted parejo from the farms of A.J. Fernandez offers us. The Diesel Vintage is everything we seek in a fine and exceptional cigar experience. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, Redding, California.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating.
Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
John Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite 241-3474.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the building we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
African lesbians who are suffering from dwarfism, that's literally in their announcement for their, because it's inclusive for their jobs, their job posting. All right, let's get to a bit of last night's fun, because last night after the big telecast, the media was just, they were licking each other. If Joe Biden had been there, they'd have been giving him a tongue bath, so they had to do it remotely. Amazing stuff. But Senator Ted Cruz was on after the speech with Sean Hannity on the Fox News Channel. Said, hey, how'd you like the State of the Union address? That was a humdinger, wasn't it, Senator Ted Cruz?
Look, I think tonight was astonishing. I've never seen anything like it. It was a campaign speech, but it was an exceptionally bad campaign speech. Joe Biden was angry. He was bitter. He was screaming, as you noted, the entire night. He was radical and extreme. And he was completely out of touch with the American people. Frankly, tonight Joe Biden reminded me like an angry old man standing on his porch screaming to the kids, get off my lawn. That's who he was. I've been to 12 State of the Union addresses. I've never seen anything remotely like this.
Yeah, no one has. And everyone was in full agreement. Britt Hume, who's been around this town for quite some time, well over 40 years, I would estimate. And he is shaking his head. I've never seen anything quite like that. And Ted Cruz was correct. Senator Marco Rubio was also asked, hey, how'd you like the big speech, Senator Marco Rubio?
The whole thing was just bizarre. You say hyperpartisan, no doubt about it. I've never seen a State of the Union ever. I don't recall any. Maybe there's been one in the past where a sitting president mentions his predecessor or opponent and future opponent so many different times and misleads people with it. So I think the only thing he achieved tonight, there's a bunch of Democrats saying, breathing a sigh of relief that he's not weakened at Bernie's, that he's not, that, you know, he's alive and that he was able to get through a speech and that apparently he's still able to scream. But beyond that, I mean, sure, they're very happy about it. They're relieved, I would say. But the rest of the country saw kind of a grumpy guy saying things that are nonsensical.
Saying things that are nonsensical, a crazy old crotchety. You know, honestly, I was texting last night, as I said, with friends. And I say, you know, if this guy were in your living room, you'd expect him to start throwing things and slamming things against the wall. You'd go get a garbage can lid so you had a shield in the living room. I'm holding my hand up like I've got a garbage can lid shield in my hand. And I was looking at this guy, and I said, if he were like your crazy old uncle or your neighbor or something, you'd think about calling the cops. There's this crazy man in my house. And I know he's going to start throwing lamps and ashtrays against the wall and smashing glasses because this guy's out of his mind. And the news media loved it. They, tongue bath, they shaved their tongues yesterday to make their tongues smoother for Joe Biden's big event. Remarkable stuff. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, also after the big, and I got to say, he was trying to keep a straight face through most of it. There was a lot of language going back and forth in the room. And I think I said to my best girl at one point, I said, how does he keep from flipping him off? And I was wondering, the Republicans were, I don't think there was an applause line in there for the whole nation. It was all just mean-spirited, nasty, angry, barking, spitting mad. The most partisan, the most vitriolic, the most belligerent, that is to say, literally warlike State of the Union speech, probably since the Democrats broke away to become the Confederate States of America and had to have their asses whooped by the Republicans under Abraham Lincoln, who they then shot in the head and killed, you know, because the Democrats. But let's go to the Speaker. So Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, sitting by there, and there's Kamala sitting next to him, who's just looking around like, oh, Like she's in the back of a convertible at the 4th of July parade in Berkeley, California or something. Oh, where they're, oh, clapping, oh. And she's, people are making fun of the way she's dressed and stuff. At least she wasn't, she didn't match the chair in the background this year, but she had nothing to contribute. She just sits there and smiles pleasantly like a Stepford vice president. Remarkable stuff. And young, old, Joe, honestly, I've got, friends in Sweden, and a nice lady in Sweden sent me, oh yeah, we're calling him Old Yeller. He's got a new nickname in our household in Sweden outside of Stockholm. And, yeah, we call him Old Yeller. There's Old Yeller in the House chamber giving the State of the Union speech. And the Speaker of the House, this is his first State of the Union as Speaker, and he was looking around and rolling his eyes and shaking his head, and he didn't tear up the speech like that vicious beep Nancy Pelosi did. They're just a nasty, mean-spirited gang of leftists. They're not liberals at all. You know, you can probably get along with most liberals if they're really liberals, but these people aren't liberals, and they're anti-American, and they're anti-capitalist, and all his tax stuff is a lot of hooey, and his claim that he created 15 million jobs is a lie that has been debunked when he said it was 12 million. It was a lie that was debunked when he said it was 11 million. It was a lie that was debunked when he said it was 10 million. And they don't care because the truth is completely irrelevant to them. If the lie wins the day, they're happy with that. But Mike Johnson, after the Speaker of the House, after the speech. Oh, yeah, and there's another part. That Speaker, that normally the president comes down and he doesn't spend all that much time, as much time as Joe Biden did. Marjorie Taylor Greene collared Joe Biden a little bit when he was walking down the aisle. 20 minutes late. And again, having to go around the pro-terrorist Democrat mob in the street that was chanting death to the Jews. It was in a code, but they were chanting. And then he came down. Marjorie Taylor Greene gave him a button because she had buttons to give out with the name Lincoln Riley. And then he called her Lincoln Riley, but we'll get to that because he's got the Civil War on his mind. It's the Civil War thing again. Lincoln Riley, who actually that's the name of the football coach at USC, also Lincoln Riley. But that's not why it popped into Joe Biden's head, I don't think. In any event, when Joe Biden finally made his way down to the podium, there is a protocol, and the protocol is that you show up on time, which he didn't do, and that you spend a few minutes making your way down to the podium, but not too many minutes, you know, maybe 2-3 minutes, because you take your time on the way out after it's over, and that's where you shake hands and get your pictures with members of Congress and some guests and stuff, at least when they're before they're arrested. The father of one of our Marines murdered by a terrorist during the evacuation of Kabul started shouting, and we'll get to this. During the speech, and he was dragged away by the cops and arrested and charged with crimes, charged with at least one misdemeanor. But at least they didn't shoot him like Ashley Babbitt was shot and killed, because they could have accused him of trespassing and then shot him. You know how things go in Washington, D.C. these days. But the president made his way down to the podium, and he gives copies of the speech to the Speaker of the House and then to the Vice President, who is seated next to the Speaker of the House. There are great traditions. We're a great country. But the left is here, and they're burning the place to the ground. And they love Hamas and hate the Jews. It's an amazing thing. So they made it for information dominance, cultural dominance. They can make Jew-hating mainstream and popular. They've done it. With young people everywhere, they've raised all these racists and anti-Semites. While claiming that they're making everybody anti-racist, they've raised the biggest generation of racists in ages and ages, many, many generations. But never mind that. So that what he's supposed to do, he hands a copy of in a nice folder, presidential seal, and hey, here's my State of the Union speech. Don't tear it up. And gives one to the Speaker and then one to the Vice President. And then the President is supposed to pause while the Speaker of the House gavels the House, the joint session, into order. And then he announces, ladies and gentlemen, it is my great honor and privilege to introduce to you the President of the United States. But Joe Biden turned around and just started talking like an idiot. Now, he's only been to like 120 of these. It's just amazing. I think his first one was Andrew Johnson. Was it Andrew Johnson? Pretty amazing stuff. So he botched everything from the left forced the motorcade to divert. There were violent mobs outside the White House. You could hear them chanting and screaming when the motorcade left. Motorcade gets down toward the Capitol. More violent mobs of left-wing crazy people hating the Jews and all that. So the motorcade is diverted. Then he gets to the Capitol, and he gets lost somewhere in the building. Maybe he had to go take his Prevagen. I think Prevagen should use the speech last night for their TV ads. Prevagen is that it's that thing you take. You get it at drugstores, and it helps you with your brain and your brain activity. It's a supplemental brain health pill, Prevagen. And I think last night it was a Prevagen ad. But he might have also gotten into Hunter's stash because he was a little jacked up. Anybody spot, I didn't look real closely, any like white residue around his nostrils or anything? Because he's jacked up. Yeah, man, I'm going to. It's like he had a dagger in his hand. Guy was out of his mind with coke on the end, like Tony Montana. Crazy stuff. So after the State of the Union, Joe Biden just botched everything. And the protesters screwed up the motorcade route. And then 20 minutes late, then he, instead of walking to the podium and giving the speech, he thought he was at a meet and greet. And then he starts talking before he can be introduced by the speaker. And then he attacked the country and starts playing up Ukraine like he's giving the State of the Union to Ukraine instead of the United States. And because he believes in their territorial integrity, but not our territorial integrity, their sovereignty, but not our sovereignty. Their border deserves protecting, but not our border. And, of course, Hamas needs our help. Shouldn't we also be supporting Russia very directly with aid and stuff like we are Hamas? No, they love the Islamists. And they got to pretend they don't like Putin, even though made Putin's oil revenues skyrocket to fund Russia's side of the war against Ukraine. But never mind that. So the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, after the big event last night.
It was just an overly partisan, unnecessarily partisan evening. I mean, the State of the Union, there's always some partisan elements to it, but there's normally applause lines that everyone can join in on. I mean, that's kind of the unifying moment about this tradition, and we got none of that tonight. There was almost nothing that we could agree to because it was so full of false information, and it was hard for me to hold that in.
And you could see that he was shaking his head, he was rolling his eyes, his body language, his shoulders shrugging. It's a very straight guy, nice. They were calling him a Christian nationalist, a radical Christian nationalist, about 3 weeks ago. And then Joe Scarborough called him a communist, because our news media is not legitimate. And Joe Scarborough is very severely disturbed. He's a very disturbed person. And he frosts and tips his hair. He dyes his hair, goes in for that sort of thing. It was quite a night. I've got audio for you of Joe Biden and media people, too. And we've got other stuff, too. Like Oregon, where they decriminalized heroin and fentanyl, and then they're a little slow after they buried a whole buttload of people. They figured out maybe that wasn't a great idea. And I've got a great story about the drug abuse hotline that they set up in Oregon. Everything they do turns to something that you can't say on the radio. We're at 888-630-9625.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to GAWon'tWait.com.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE, 855-51-BIBLE.
Picture this. You're driving on the open road, taking in the beautiful views this country offers. Then out of nowhere, you hear a noise, and your car breaks down. While still frustrating, you feel protected because you have a plan through CarShield. Folks, CarShield has helped millions of drivers from having to pay back-breaking car repair costs. All you have to do is call before a breakdown. Plans can pay for expensive repairs on your out-of-warranty car, truck, or SUV. With a plan through CarShield, you get protection on over 5,000 major parts and systems. Folks, just call them, 800-898-6155. Hello, I'm talking big money items, your transmission, engine, electronics, and a heck of a lot more. Call now, 800-898-6155, or visit carshield.com/Levin, L-E-V-I-N. Protect yourself from the unprecedented rise in costs for parts and repairs. Call now, 800-898-6155, or visit carshield.com/Levin. That's 800-898-6155 to save.
Fellow Americans, former CIA officer Jason Hansen here. Market instability and soaring debt have put your retirement at risk. For protection, I recommend diversifying into physical gold from Advantage Gold, a 5-star rated gold company I've used for years. Their customer service is unmatched. Call 800-741-GOLD now and say Jason Hansen sent you and get a free 2024 gold investing kit. Again, call 800-741-GOLD.
Advertisement sponsored by Allied Injury Group, not available in all states. This important message from Allied Injury Group reminds you that if you or someone you love was injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, you deserve financial compensation for your medical expenses, lost wages, pain, and suffering. Don't rely on insurance companies to look out for you. If you haven't spoken to an attorney, call our legal experts now. Work accident, truck accident, collision with an uninsured driver, or a slip and fall. Allied Injury Group has helped clients win hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. They're available 24/7 to take your call and fight for you. Remember, if you or someone you love suffered injuries in an accident that wasn't your fault, like being struck by a drunk driver, a collision with an 18-wheeler, were a victim of workplace negligence or more, get the financial compensation you deserve. Call Allied Injury Group for a free consultation now.
Call 800-781-1815. That's 800-781-1815. Again, 800-781-1815.
The Omaha Steaks semi-annual sale is here. Get 50% off site-wide and save on mouth-watering favorites today. Go to omahasteaks.com and shop the semi-annual sale where you can load up on all the delicious flavor you crave at half the price. And when you use promo code SIZZLE at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. Save big on delicious, tender, juicy steaks, big, beefy burgers, and so much more. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code SIZZLE at checkout. Minimum purchase may apply.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Joe Biden last night told our idiot Secretary of State and another Democrat idiot, and Pete Buttigieg was there smiling and twinkling for the cameras, and he said he was talking to the leader of the Jewish state, Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and he told Netanyahu that they're going to have a come to Jesus. He doesn't understand a lot about different religions. Not a bright man. Let's go to the telephones. Michael, So far, we're talking about the Joe Biden, crotchety old man, State of the Union last night. Let's go to Ivan, calling from Miramar Beach, Florida. Ivan, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris, my friend, how you doing this morning?
Very well, very well. What do you say?
Hey, Chris, listen, I cracked the code, by the way. You know, every time they say the word democracy, you can substitute the word Democrat. You know, it's in other words, a threat to democracy is a threat to Democrats. Every time they say democracy, you know, just substitute the word Democrats, and that'll tell you what they really mean. Hey, Chris, you know, I'm just angry. You know, they think we had an angry old man last night. He is nowhere near as angry as the citizens of this country. You know, I wish the Republican response had included, you know, like every chance we get in public, we need to remind us and remind them that we will never forget the 10 million illegal immigrants, you know, that you invited, the criminals, the rapists that you invited into our country. You know, the fentanyl deaths, the child trafficking, you know, the modern-day slavery that you created. We won't forget that. And we will never forget Afghanistan. We won't forget the forced vaccination you put on our kids, teaching our kids that a man can have a baby, gender mutilation, genital mutilation on our kids. We won't forget that. We won't forget the billions you gave to Iran, the racial division that you create every day that your party pushes. We won't forget the high gas prices, the energy prices that you caused by closing our pipelines and doing the opposite of energy independence. We won't forget the corruption of your family, and we will not give you four more years to finish the transformation of what was the greatest country in the world till you took office. We won't forget any of that. And you can't pee on us and tell us it's raining outside. It just makes me so angry that they think he was angry. The citizens of this country are more angry, way more angry for what you've done to our country and what you're going to try to do if you get four more years.
Yeah, and he went into January 6th again last night, which was quite minor. It was the day that Ashley Babbitt was shot and killed while unarmed after serving 12 years in the United States Air Force. For the alleged crime of trespassing, and they celebrated her killing. Remarkable stuff. After
the news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.